Welcome to the Scotchcast, episode 3 for the third week of March 18th,
I guess.
Yeah, Monday, March 18th.
The cup is March 18th. 17th here. You're a day behind me.
16th. So I guess Sunday. What? We're doing it on St. Patrick's Day.
That's still the 17th.
Are we?
That still would be the 17th.
Yeah, I said Monday, March 18th.
Is this St. Patrick's Day?
Sunday is, yeah.
Tomorrow. Oh, God.
Yeah, for you it's St. Patrick's.
Yeah, for you it is.
I should be drinking.
You should be.
I'm saying this is Scotchcast.
Really, we should all be.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the Scotchcast of... My name is Thurbleton. This is the Giant Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2... Guild Wars 2...
Off-topic show?
Yeah, off-topic show.
Yeah.
Scotchcast.
Yeah.
Joined with me is self-confessed cynic. How are you today?
What's up? I don't know why I threw gang signs.
They're lost. Because we are doing this live again, and still not sure if we should be doing this live at all.
No, we shouldn't be. Let's just be honest with ourselves. We do this because we can. That's pretty much.
You're also on the Scotchcast this week. Do you think we should be doing this live?
Given that it took me an hour to get everything working again, yes, we should.
Indeed.
And certainly not least, we have the Korean Pirate Bay subverter.
Well, new Bravo. Careful, don't get too much information out about
is
him.
That, is this picture a reference to Gangnam Style? I love that song. Open Gangnam Style.
I love that your face is actually not moving now, like you're frozen.
Yeah, this is great. He's frozen.
No, actually in North Korea, they just don't move their faces at all. No.
Oh, so they're Protoss. They just communicate with their mind.
Do they have glowing eyes?
I mean, have you seen
I respect StarCraft 2, but fuck StarCraft. It's a strategy game. It's not my style. I'm just going to say that. So when it comes, and I just become really redactive and just uncooperative in the conversation, that's why, because fuck StarCraft.
Okay.
I'm sorry. All right. So, all right, where are we starting this show? We're gonna start with StarCraft because we can get that out of the way, and then move on to things people actually care about.
I'm the host, Cynic, and so first I will ask you, what is he playing?
New Brahma? Really?
Oh, I have been playing Arma 3, and
cool.
It's a little bit of SimCity. Mostly been reading, actually, but yeah. Now, so Arma 3 SimCity and lots
Arma
of parts 3 of Arma
3. Multiplayer,
or? Yeah, we've been playing Arma 3 multiplayer. It's been quite fun.
If memory serves, you were playing Arma 3 as well last week, right?
Yeah. I've also been playing a lot of Left 4 Dead. Basically, there's been a lot more scenarios that have been coming out. So on the PC Gaming Hub, we've been doing a lot more missions. There's one where it's like hunt the VIP. One person plays the VIP. Another like a security detail. And you have to travel around the island, which is like 40 kilometers by 40 kilometers square, which is like a small island, of course. The big one is like 280 kilometers square.
Giant-sized maps.
Giant. And so that's been fun. I've been fucking around with that. Lots of Left 4 Dead 2 recently. Left 4 Dead 2 mutations. They're really fun. Like, there's really crazy ones where there's one where only one survivor is allowed to get to the safe house, and you sort of have to get rid of all of the survivors along the way. And it's not only zombies versus survivors, it's zombies versus survivors versus survivors.
A crazy mutation would be with that is if one person secretly, it's you have to prevent the other three from getting there, but nobody
else knows, right? It's like Trouble in Terrorist Town kind of thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Do you want to talk about that now or save that for...
Oh, you can talk about it, I guess. And one more other interesting mutation was where it replaces all of the zombies with all special infected. So it's just constant special infected. We were playing, and while we were waiting for someone, we just killed their character, the AI character, over and over again until it was one health black and white. And when they join, they're like, what the hell's going on? And we're like, no, it's a part of the game mode. Basically, what happens is this – basically, so everything is replaced with special infected. So there's like so many of them. And so we got him to go in first. So he went right up to the door in the very first mission. And then a spitter or a smoker tongue went straight out and killed him instantly. And that was one of my favorite gaming moments I've had in a long time. It's quite great. Yeah.
My favorite moment was in Left 4 Dead. I'm not sure if it was a mutation mode, though. That is, like, doing it with a group of people is definitely one of the funnest things. But just opening a door and having a giant hunter on fire, just kill me.
Oh, man. Hunters on fire do double the damage. It's crazy. Yeah.
Self-confessed cynic, what is your scariest moment in a game? Perhaps one you've been playing recently.
Oh, are you going to what I've been playing? We're not. Wait, I still want to get StarCraft 2 out of the way. No.
Well, yeah, I was going to say StarCraft 2.
I was going to say Left 4 Dead. It's been a long time since I played any Left 4 Dead. Like, I didn't even play Left 4 Dead 2. I was one of those guys who played Left 4 Dead 1 for about a solid month, kind of like just nonstop with friends, and then just never went back because I was.
Is it because you're deathly afraid of zombies?
Is it? Is. No, it's just that I got tired of shooting zombies. I think that was my breaking point in the whole, like, zombies, zombie fiction, and just being done with it.
Right.
Because, I don't know, it just kind of went full circle.
Yeah, it's it almost feels like it's coming
to the end of that lifetime. I don't want to hate on that. I like StarCraft 2.
Well, actually, yeah. Do you guys think that the whole Left 4 Dead style is coming to an end because we're seeing so many more, like, cooperative games? We're actually seeing games where it's optional to be cooperative against zombies with DayZ and DayZ Standalone and KillZ even.
Right.
Is it KillZ?
WarZ,
that's the word.
That is a fucking awful failure of a game.
KillZ.
The thing about games like DayZ is while you can go about it alone, the most effective way is to go in groups. And I think I don't know too many people who just simply play alone because there's so many inherent advantages of sticking together, like a real zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
You know, most of the things while playing DayZ, it's a lot of sticking together, killing other people, and killing other people. I don't think we really killed zombies when I played DayZ. It was all about killing people going around alone.
I think there's room for...
And sitting on their bodies.
Because zombie games are essentially a moving horde mode.
Yeah.
Like if you break it down to how the game... Even though they probably evolved the opposite of that, with horde mode coming... with significant influence from the zombie genre. But so I think there's people who still want zombies. I think for a while there, I was a part of the majority and people sick of zombies, but zombies are kind of coming back in somehow.
And
I don't know why.
Think it's because of DayZ,
want them.
That is completely new in the concept where it's not just humans versus zombies, like a small group.
Yeah.
It's like a huge map full of zombies, and the most dangerous part about that game is other people. And I think that's, like, really cool because I feel like that's a way more realistic description of a zombie apocalypse.
Well, I mean,
I think there's a middle ground there where, like, you can have something with the pick up and play ability of Left 4 Dead, because Left 4 Dead is one of the most easy games to get into.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Especially because it's a cooperative experience. And on normal, I believe there's no friendly fire on normal, so it's just like...
No, there's friendly fire unless you turn it off.
On normal?
On every difficulty.
On really? Oh, yeah. It's just much reduced.
It's just, dramatically reduced.
Yeah. On the hardest, it's 100%. Yeah. No. Anyway, so there's just some. It's just so easy to get into, and I can see there being a middle ground between Left 4 Dead. Like if Left 4 Dead 3 was a middle ground between Left 4 Dead and DayZ, that would be pretty damn cool. It was just an island, and you dropped on there. And that's the scenario. So it's not like in Left 4 Dead, it's like shooting a monster movie, where I can envision the Left 4 Dead 3 where it's like shooting a series based on an island.
The thing that Dead Island had that like that Left 4 Dead has and DayZ doesn't, and like I'm like really liking the whole idea of DayZ, except for there's no real safe zones and there's no special zombies. It's just like what I really liked about like this Left 4 Dead and just like the idea of you get really like you have if you're a muscle builder, you end up being the tank. If you're a smoker, you end up being the smoker.
I don't understand how smoking cigarettes gets you long tongues. If that's the case, I would smoke cigarettes.
I don't know.
I'd like
to. If that was the case, you might talk to a lady.
Yeah.
Oh.
I put my tongue down her throat and talk to her.
So,
yeah.
Cynic, if I heard correctly, or if I saw on Steam correctly, you are playing Dark Souls?
I've been playing so much motherfucking Dark Souls. I described
this
song
in Dark Souls.
But Dark Souls still has yet to give you that feeling of terror. According to what I asked,
it's
the
opposite.
Still, okay. You're not playing.
It's
Is it just super easy?
It's kind of crazy because for me, I did the same thing with Demon's Souls and Dark Souls. I bought them because I wanted to support From Software and I love what they were doing, the idea of what they were doing. And I chucked that into my PS3 and I played like 45 minutes of both and then just freaked the fucking bejesus out of me. And I put the fuck down. Okay. I never touched this game.
Like, what? How are you guys with scary games? Because I can't fucking play scary games or watch scary games.
I can't play scary games for shit. And yeah. Dark Souls is worse because it's not... like, it does have jump scares, but it's not actually trying to scare you. It's just that it's like DayZ in some ways, where if you die, you lose so much.
Yeah.
Much by dying.
The element of the scare is having to repeat everything, whereas with Amnesia or something, the element of the scare is just it's
fear of the unknown.
I guess, yeah, because they
both are fear of the unknown, because Dark Souls, it's like
you don't know what's around the corner.
New area, exactly. When I explore, like in the base area I went to, there was I was going through sewers, which is by far the worst environment for me ever, because I hate creepy crawly things. I hate slimy things.
And it was just insects can go eat a dick.
Not exactly. Dick. It was so I was just feeling like this grotesque like aversion to everything around me while crawling through the sewers.
Right.
And there's a rat, and the rat's like walking backwards away from me towards like this treasure. I'm like, yeah. By this point, I can discuss how I end up playing Dark Souls later. But for this example, I'm walking towards the rat. And there's the treasure, so I start running towards it, and because I can one-shot these things if I do a particular attack. So I wind up for that attack, and there's a hole in the ground. I fall through the hole, take falling damage, surrounded by these weird monsters I've never seen before with big fucking scary eyes. And they like spray this like white steam at me, and suddenly a bar in the middle of my screen starts filling up. And I didn't know what this bar was because there's different status effects like poison, curse, and a bunch of other things. And I'd never seen curse before. And by then my Dark Souls like reflexes had built to the point where I just started fucking dodging constantly just to get out of the curse zone. And I killed them. But the point I'm saying is if that bar filled up to the top, I would have instantly died and been afflicted with a, because I didn't know this at the time. I read this after, because what I do with Dark Souls is I explore an area first, and then I go back through a walkthrough and get all the stuff I missed along the way. So I do every area twice or multiple times, depending on the area. Okay. And so if that thing filled up, I would have been turned to stone, instantly died, respawned at my checkpoint. But I would have been inflicted with curse, which is a permanent condition that cannot be cured except by one item, which I had one of, which I didn't know this. Like this is what.
The one you had would have been on the stone body, which you would have to go back. No, because
luckily you lose like your materials. Not materials, but you lose like your currency and you lose one of your static buffs, which is your humanity. But you don't lose any of your items, which is the best part about Dark Souls.
Okay.
So it was, but this curse would have like halved all my stats and like halved my HP and permanently until I figured out how to cure it. Yeah. Thankfully I had the item, but I didn't. Anyway, so that's the kind of stuff that happens in Dark Souls. It's the incredible fear of the unknown. Fear that you're going to be fucked over, but not by the game, because I'd paid attention. I would have seen that floor, that hole in the ground, but I wasn't paying attention. I was focused on the treasure, and that's what they were expecting to happen.
Focused on the treasure.
Would you like have you run into people going onto your game, or you going to other people's game? Because the other thing I always hear about Dark Souls is that it's the invasions as well as just like you're entering an area like PC Gamer talked about this, I think it was but like weeks ago, where it just said like one of the messages that people wrote on the walls was beware grief, which I think is just a great multi-layered warning, because it's like, watch out, there's like a griefer up ahead, watch out, it's a trap, or just beware sadness.
You're gonna be griefed.
No, just like just the term grief, not even griefer, but just like sadness is like, oh wow, that is
just
that's deep.
Dark Souls does a thing where and this is one of the beauties, so I guess you should rewind how I've started to play Dark Souls. So when I played it those first two times with Demon Souls and Dark Souls for 45 minutes and put it down because I was terrified of the game, The thing that scared me, and people who love this game are going to hate me for saying this, because this is the core part of the game that I've switched off, and that allows me to play it and like the game, so fuck you, because I like it. But I turn off the sound. So oh, wow. I play the game while having like a podcast or something streaming on my second monitor.
So you're
and
not
so
scared.
I can, there's like this. Yeah, so there's always the element of like reality next to the fucking terrifying shit that's happening on the screen.
See, this is there was this Half-Life 2 mod called Korsakova I played. It was a horror mod.
Of course,
Korsakova
is great.
Pardon?
Because of course, Korsakova is great. I played that as well.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, because it's like Half-Life 2, it's not particularly like the graphics aren't scary. It just the atmosphere they do really well in terms of fear. And the only way I played that game, and I had to stop after 30 minutes because I was still scared, is that I was listening to like really happy anime music, and I had turned the sound off in the video game, and it's like I'm drowned in my paradise of anime, and this is like really happy, and this is because you want to take yourself, and then I'm like, this isn't the way to play. But then I see one of those like
it's not really immersing yourself.
I swear to God, I've never done this. I saw one of those mist things. I ran for the nearest. There was like a little janitor's closet. I ran for it, opened the door, and closed myself in, and then closed the game. That's how scared I was. It's ridiculous.
Noob, the way you play scary games is you turn off all of the lights and stream yourself so that other people can be entertained by your terror. And the best part about it is because you're streaming. Well, the best part about it is because you're streaming, you can't quit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no,
you
I
have
just
to
quit,
press
but,
on.
That's because I'm an asshole.
Now, granted, I cheat a little bit because I will have like other people invent with me while I'm playing, and they'll be watching on the stream, so they'll be commenting on what I'm doing. So like having those voices there does help a little bit, but like that was the only reason why I was able to play like those large chunks of Dead Space at a time. Was,
there's this Half-Life 1 mod called Cry of Fear, and that's a co-op multiplayer
that
thing. That's genuinely scary. I played it with my friend.
Yeah, that one's good too.
I think we should play it.
So
it's really...
So I turned off the sound to Dark Souls, and that allowed me to just play the game like any other game. But the thing that I didn't realize the first time I played through the game, and the thing that makes me really like Dark Souls now, isn't the atmosphere, because obviously I'm missing out on most of the atmosphere by not playing with sound, but the just the perfection of its controls. So Dark Souls, I think, runs at 30 frames a second. And it does have some significant frame problems on the PS3. Like, it definitely dips here and there. But aside from that, like, I have not played a game that controlled this well outside of driving games probably ever. Like, this is up there with the original God of War, probably better than God of War. Oh, wow. And it shits over, because I've always been a person who's been open to PC gaming. I play Mass Effect 3 on PC, but the one thing I've always hated about PC games, and I'm playing Dark Souls on my PS3, but it's applicable, because you can get the PC version. The only thing I hate about PC games is the fact that the controls, like movement, has never been done right, because there's no analog stick. It's your digital movement controls. MMOs, especially, like, Thurbleton's asked me why I hate MMO platforming. It's because of digital movement.
You're blowing out a little bit there.
Digital movement. Oh no!
Can
you hear me?
Just again, the reason why I don't like. Yeah. Well,
hey, console kitty, plug in a controller to your PC then.
I will not play Guild Wars 2 with a controller ever.
Okay. Well, then what's your so there's no controller and there's no mouse and keyboard. Can't have everything. Can't have your cake and eat it. You can't not have your cake and not eat it.
We're getting there. We've had this discussion on the podcast before with like Durin's Nostromo, and hopefully there being a middle ground eventually.
Which kind of makes me curious for because like when people try to do the opposite, and that is put a keyboard and mouse in their living room for like when they want to put like Steambox or just like the PlayStation or something, that's really like people just don't like doing that if they want to be sitting on their couch with the controller.
It's hard to do because there's technology like that, which is like there's like these lap keyboards with like a place to put your mouse for these HCPC setups. And it's shit. Let's be honest. Like putting a keyboard on your lap, that's not a comfortable experience. Yeah.
Actually, my favorite one I've seen was just a guy had a giant like piece of plywood, and like that was like it had a rail, and that was pretty much like it was,
so
like felt and just the keyboard and mouse.
what I like to do is, like, I sometimes plug my laptop into my TV and then just stick a controller in there and just play it like a console, which I really like to do. So I don't think there will ever be a way, like, other than to, like, type messages to people, because of the way, unless you bring your computer chair over there, and even then, like, why not just put it on a monitor if you're going to do that?
Yes.
Like,
I was, this is a bit of a divergence, but I recently started watching all that Oculus Rift coverage that's happened recently, and I think that's definitely a step in the right direction. Like, I know it's motion control. Like, I understand that it's motion control, but the fact that it appears, and the people who have used it seem to be so convinced by it, so it appears to work well, might be the difference.
It appears to work pretty well. I know that one thing Brad mentioned during their last live stream was a lot of games will get to a point because it is limited by how far you can move your neck.
Yeah.
So there are some points in games where you will get to a point where your neck can't go any further, and if you need to continue aiming, you then have to use your controller to aim even further.
Yeah, like there is how they've done implemented controls now, because the major thing with the Oculus guy, and Tester did an interview with him for CES, but I've only watched it recently, and it was really good. So they pointed out that the biggest thing at the moment is, for shooters and PC games in general, we only have essentially one control for numerous things. So you have the mouse cursor, which is your reticule, where your body is pointing, and where your neck and head are pointing at the same time. There's three things which is attached to the mouse cursor, or in the center of your screen. But the Oculus essentially disconnects one of those, which is your head, from your body and reticule. So, or your head and
reticule. I just like the idea of, like, someone turning the Oculus Rift into the horror device, like from Saw, it just disconnects your head.
Yeah, it disconnects your head. So it essentially it puts in a free element that it hasn't been figured out how to control yet. Like the disconnected article, whichever it is, the head or the body,
disconnected article
fucks up controls.
Yeah,
fucks up controls. Like we just don't know how to. We haven't figured out how to do that yet.
That's why people are saying is like it's not going to be an easy transfer from like if people want to code a game for a mouse and an Oculus Rift. It's not going to be an easy switch.
I don't want to just say like Arma is like the standard of gaming, but Arma does do stuff like that, and a lot of Sims do, where you can use technology like Track IR to put a weird looking hat on your head and then move your head around. And that is
probably the
describing.
Best quick look this year. Just went up, which
Arma 3.
Yeah,
Giant Bomb Arma 3 quick look. Not for Arma 3 like. It's not for people who like Armor 3.
This year's quick looks have been amazing so far.
Outstanding.
It's outstanding.
But Vinny Caravella is in 100% effect with this recent Armor 3 quick look.
Guys, I think those enemies nearby.
The crazy thing was... Watch it.
Okay.
Watch it.
It's good.
So the main thing was Drew, who's frequently one of the guys for this, was playing with Track IR and Armor and the mouse and keyboard at the same time.
Track IR, but in a third person version, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you can use both because switch between first and third person.
That caused a bit of a hiccup, I think.
The crazy thing was that it didn't. It seemed to me like it was still kind of having the same problem. Not really a problem, because if you think so, he was moving, and because he had Track IR on. The result of that wasn't that he gained too much in the way of increased vision by being able to move your head independently. Mm-hmm. It was more like he was then forced to have his head directly
aligned with arms.
Yeah.
So
if you think about it, that makes sense because if you're holding a gun, you're not fucking. You are sometimes moving your head independently of where your body is facing, but for the majority, if you watch tactical videos...
It's not too much of a stretch to be like, I'll be keeping this gun wherever I'm looking.
Right, basically what the point of that is, if you double tap Alt, it switches just to your head rather than your body. And what it is, when you're running around, you can get full vision around you, as well as if you're just undercover and then you want to turn to your side without having to move the gun. And so it's not necessary... So I can see where like Track IR and guns would just make it inconvenient because having to line that up, it does seem extremely annoying. I guess that's why Track IR is almost exclusive to like flight sims and stuff like that.
But it makes sense.
Actually, only because we've gone on the subject of platforming and Oculus Rift, I feel like I have to bring this up. I finished Tomb Raider, and again, like, it's what I love about the game, because like the puzzles are, like, for me, they're easy and the shooting is silly. But the one thing I like was the rock climbing, the exposure of it. The actual execution of it was kind of boring and just like, just keep pressing forward and occasionally press.
Yeah, it looked like Uncharted climbing.
I began kind of thinking, how can you make a proper rock climbing game without, because like the ones they've tried before have been kind of bad. Imagine, if you will, it's a first person, you use the Oculus Rift.
And yeah, absolutely.
This will be a controller game, but the triggers are your feet and the buttons are your hands. I'm assuming this is a Xbox One.
It's like Quap.
Sort of like Quap. Well, okay, here's the thing. It's rather than make it a puzzle, like each move is going to be a puzzle, it's like, okay, you have to, it is sort of like a Quap, where if you let go with your hands, you will fall. So you have to keep your hand on and keep moving the right way. And so you're constantly looking up and down like you do in climbing. And then you could still get that sense of exposure with the wind. And then just like you look over your shoulder and you see just like a huge valley or something.
But I think like one problem with that is I never like games where you just have to hold on to buttons for a long time without letting them go. Like, do you guys ever have the same experience?
No, like, I just don't mind.
Well, okay. Here's a funny story. When I was explaining to somebody, like, because near the end of the game, I was able to get the melee combat.
Right.
And the reason why I didn't like it was because I just ended up pressing two buttons.
Right.
Which was like the dodge and then the punch. And then to the back of my head, like what the guy said to me, it's like, wait, aren't you already just hitting two buttons when you're shooting? And so we are sort of like, zoom in and shoot. So it's like we do hold buttons a lot, and like you could make it so that there's rest spots.
Brought straight back to the Assassin's Creed games. Like, if you guys don't remember, Assassin's Creed, for the majority of movement, you're just holding down R2.
Yeah.
And in Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, most of the time during combat, I'm holding up my shield, which is...
If there's a run feature in a game and there's no penalty to it, people are just holding run down all the time.
Yeah.
That's why I love games with auto run. Like, if Skyrim didn't have auto run, fuck that game. Honestly, it's just not worth playing that game.
But I can see the auto run thing happening.
I just had a real quick question going back to the Tomb Raider thing. You said that the shooting was silly. What made the shooting in that game silly?
It was like the Call of Duty style. Basically, it's since they since I heard about it on, I think it was Idle Thumbs or some podcast, but they talked about Half-Life. I went back and played a little bit of it. This was like last week or something. It was just that is a much smarter AI, whereas in Tomb Raider or in Call of Duty or something, there's just dudes popping out of like cover, and when you shoot them and kill them,
AI.
They just the AI is dumb.
Right. Well, I would say it's dumb. It's average of what you expect out of modern shooters. But I think also some of what they had to do also had to account for the bow, because
It was the bow and the linear nature of it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I could understand Call of Duty having bad AI because that's not the focus of the game, but I'd assume Tomb Raider, considering being a single player experience. I guess if they were more focusing on the cinematics of the game, because from what I looked,
this is the point I was trying to make. So people, it fucking pisses me off when people ask, when people say, "Why do we need new consoles?" So I am almost certain that the fact that Tomb Raider has bad AI is deeply linked to how difficult it is to do AI on the PS3. Yep. If they were like building it from the ground up for consoles, which is what they did, and they knew that 40% of their console market is on the PS3, then obviously they're going to be programming for the lowest common denominator, which means maximizing graphics and lowering the resources you're putting into developing good AI.
That is really depressing.
So
when you make a game, you have to make it for the dumbest parts of every system.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100% true. So essentially what happened here, and this happened to other games as well.
So much stuff that's stupid.
Like a good reason why SimCity is like such a simple game in terms of size and stuff like that, a lot of it has to do with like the majority of people who are going to play SimCity are going to be shitty Dell, PCs.
Like they said themselves, they had to develop a game that could run on your dad's PC. That was why
it is like a large chunk of those people who play SimCity are playing The Sims, and people who play The Sims, they don't get crazy 3-monitor systems.
Yeah.
Right. Because we've been able to do good shooter AI since fucking CS. Like, if you've seen some of the AI in CS, they're actually legitimately fucking great. So, some of them definitely. There's obviously the crappy ones that you can get off shop. Yeah. Some of them are actually
Okay. There's a scale of like you can have dumbest rocks, or you can have guys that like know exactly where you are in headshot.
And then if you look at games built for PC, like Half-Life or Fear, the original Fear, some of them have had fantastic AI.
So okay,
fantastic.
Do you think it's like people don't want to invest in trying to make a smarter AI because they just want this very much Call of Duty linear storyline? Like, because if you're running down this road, then people are just gonna be
well. It depends on what the game is trying to achieve. If the game is combat centric, then it wants to have a better AI. While they have other priorities,
right? Well, and I don't think
I just cut Durin off. There you go, yeah. Durin. Go.
Durin.
I don't think that any of them want to have bad AI or that they're not prioritizing it.
Of course not.
One of the things they said with the announcement of the PS4 is that they are incredibly excited for the technical specs of that system because it allowed them to build advanced AI systems that they were never capable of doing in the past. Absolutely. So, like we know directly from the developers' mouths.
Yeah, like that's why I hate people who don't think we need new consoles. Because whether you're a PC gamer or not, and a lot of our audience are just pure PC gamers, which is fine. PC is being hamstrung by the current consoles, but that is a fact. If consoles are moving forward, you're going to get better games on the PC. So at least be happy for that. But in this case, just movement from away from the cell architecture back to x86, huge memory bandwidth, gigantic amounts of memory available on the PS4, and most likely the Xbox 720 or what it is as well,
Durango.
Means that hopefully you're going to get better stuff. Because I will guarantee you that, Respawn Studios, or the guys who made Modern Warfare 2, and the current makers of Modern Warfare, they want to have fucking awesome AI in their games. Like they're developers. People who make games don't make games for the checks in most cases. They do it because they like video games. So they want to put good AI in these games, and hopefully they'll be given the opportunity to do so. What I do think will happen, though, first, is that the first thing we'll see in the leap to the next generation will be just improvement on graphics. But like this generation, as that stabilizes and people have hit most of the breakthroughs in that, you'll definitely be seeing increase of like physics and AI, and that's going to be really exciting going forward.
Question for Noob, only on this topic: Arma 3 has a single player, right? Is the AI worth it? Because that's not
really
coming
bad.
Out of console.
Basically,
really
what,
bad.
What do you mean, the Arma 3 AI? Yeah,
I think Cynic is based off the quick look.
Right.
Yeah. Oh
basically,
my God.
Arma has always had not very smart AI.
Okay.
AI is less about aiming. Basically, there's a skill slider in the editor where you can set the level of the AI and then within the game itself. And a lot of it is like the problem with shooters in terms of AI is they just lock on and shoot. Games like strategy games, it's more about the strategy of and how the AI counters the player's actions. While, you know, shooters is simply just simple skill level in terms of how well they can shoot, how fast they can shoot, and
well, and not only just the shooting, is the pathfinding, and that's why I'm not surprised Arma doesn't have one, because pathfinding is non-existent in that game.
And basically, but the majority of the AI, or not the majority, but like the AI's objective and goals will be set by the people who make the maps. They would not be set by individual AI. That's simply the restrictions of the game. The map is too big. They simply can't have stuff like that. Thanks to that, the mod community is amazing. So AI scripts, amazing things can be done with the AI. Like, I can already see improvements, because in the original Arma 2, AI didn't go into buildings by themselves during firefights. Now they do. Like, it's obviously not an amazing improvement, but the fact that, you know, they're slowly improving, I think it's a good sign. And the fact that it's now an actual shooting game, it really helps.
On the subject of, you know, modern games and good AI, like, I think I know Cynic's going to hate talking about this now, but I'm going to go ahead and bring it up. StarCraft 2, Heart of the Swarm, they've made some really good improvements to the AI in that. So one of the things they've done
StarCraft?
Do you think they made an actual improved AI, or do you think they're just hiring a bunch of like South Korean slave workers out of a sweatshop?
That's
like,
man.
One of the issues, like in StarCraft 1, for instance, with the AI was that it always rushed. It always just went for the fastest possible push it could go against you, and that was it. In StarCraft 2, they improved that, and it definitely reacted to what it saw in your base when it would scout, and it would actually scout. But now it's gone even further with Heart of the Swarm, where you can actually, like, you essentially don't need, like, build order testers as much, because you can tell the AI, I want you to build in this way, or I want you to build in that way, and then play against it, and you can test your stuff out that way. As well as, if you are actually playing, say, like, you and an AI versus, like, say, three AIs or something like that, you will be able to give orders to your AI partner, and they can follow those orders.
Oh, cool. Nice.
So, like, they made some really, really good improvements. Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, part of the beauty of StarCraft is that it is being developed from the ground up for PC.
Yeah.
With, like, no bottlenecks, really, on it. I don't know. It's difficult to say because... it's so hard to look at how Blizzard does these things because I think to my knowledge, StarCraft 2 has the best RTS AI from any of the more recent RTSs, right? Like, how's Supcom in comparison, for example?
I'm not sure how Supreme Commander 2 is. God, it's been so long since I played it, I don't really know anymore.
Yeah, Company Heroes 2 is coming out soon. Well, I hope it is. Mm-hmm. After the THQ kerfuffle, yeah, it's gonna get delayed a little bit. But other than that, the only big RTS games I can think of are like space ones. Total War.
Right.
Oh, Total War. Yeah, the whole
realm. So the thing about those kinds of games is there's two kinds of things you can base the AI on. For Hearts of Iron games, it's like operational tactical. So the AI looks at the grand goals of the game and like what their objectives are, and at the tactical level they like look at what kind of battles they can win and how they
actually. Is he roboting for anyone else?
He's very roboty.
It makes him feel like the Borg.
It's not just me. I understand. So it's, the crazy thing there is both that and StarCraft and many RTSs before it are developed with the same constraints as a lot of other PC games, like SimCity, which is to run on shitty PCs. Like you can play StarCraft 2.
Can we please talk about SimCity when it comes to smart AIs?
No, that's my point in comparison. I'm saying StarCraft 2 does it well. A bunch of the other RTSs do it pretty damn well. Why the fuck can't these other games do and I want to see. I just want to know how Blizzard does it. How they approach AI? Do they just have crazy smart people, or are just more resources and putting more time into it? Or are they actually are they just doing something that's perfectly achievable by other developers if they put in the right resources? Like, why aren't we getting better AI in games? I want that question answered, because AI is getting better. Like, in the spaces outside of like, if you look at drone technology and like modern actual applications for advanced AI, you've superseded what we're doing in games years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The thing about games like StarCraft is the AI, I would compare it, if I were to compare it to other games, it's not as adaptable to certain situations as other AI. Because once you have certain, I don't know, prerequisites and you're sort of fucking up the AI, they are not very good at fighting back. Once you've sort of got them in that circled up state, they don't know how to react very well. Because they simply...
adaptation and lateral thinking has always been the most difficult thing for any AI.
Because, like... Yeah. Sometimes the bad AI is generally like they see everything you're doing. They get extra resources. That's like the bad way to pop up AI. Like old games used to do that. They'd get extra resources. They can see what you're doing and they just build counters straight up. So like, I don't know what more can be done. Like, cause I'm sure they put in a lot of time to make sure the AI is able to adapt and react to player actions, because there's so many things, different variables that can happen in an RTS. So what do you guys think? Like, what's the most important thing for an AI to have at this point?
Parallel processing.
I still remember when I looked at this will sort of date me, but like Command & Conquer Generals, I really liked playing that. But they had like most of the player made maps could not be like done.
Yeah.
It could not be done with AI. Rather, the default ones, when we looked at them, there was so much pathfinding put into there of all the different areas. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes me like impressed that like StarCraft 2 and all the, like the other RTSs have that model, but yeah, it's like, maybe it's, we just need massive pathfinding of a human standpoint.
We need,
whichever way a person would go.
If you look at how, and I'm going to be dumbing this down and be wrong about a lot of this. But if you look at how chess computers and that computer, I forgot what his name was, that did Jeopardy, the Jeopardy stuff. How we've approached like advanced AI in computing at the moment is pretty much just like
what is giving you a laugh?
The stream.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Please, please continue, Cynic. I am also listening to you.
It's pretty much taking. It's just looking at every fucking possibility available to it and taking in as much raw data available to it to construct its like processing and output. So, but what the human brain does is it has instinct. It has, which is we can't define. We just don't know how the fuck that works. We have instinct. We have lateral thinking, which is based off like minimal forms of information. Like if you look how a human approaches a new instance, they're working off just the telemetry available to them from their eyes, their feeling, their skin. They're working off like only a couple of inputs. Now, I know that our sensory data is pretty complex. Like our hearing is pretty decent, our vision is pretty decent, but compared to what a computer could do with that same amount of processing, I mean, so the same amount of input, we just fucking shit all over that. And one of the things we believe is part of that is parallel processing. Hopefully.
Yeah. I know there's like researches about people who are like, yeah, in 10 years, 15 years, like it'll be like the rate AIs will like beat an average person, then pass them. But the question is then how long before computer game AIs get smart as well?
Because if you can build an AI that's running off a supercomputer that can beat a person, I will be somewhat impressed, but mainly unimpressed. Once you can do that on a i7 or an i5, then it's interesting to me.
Yeah.
But the difference between the two is that those supercomputers are based off parallel processing. They have hundreds of processors running independently and cooperatively to come up with their conclusion. And so when it comes to like one of the things I'm hoping to happen, even though there's been no discussion of this that I know of, so take it for what it will. But if you look at the GPU and how that works in terms of parallel processing, like people know that the CPU is running off usually on 8 cores or so, but GPU, so what's in your graphics card, can have over 100 or so cores, or like parallel processing units, not necessarily cores, that work to give you your images. If we can have GPU accelerated or GPU units that are made for AI, for example, if NVIDIA did a physics equivalent but for AI on their cards,
so and what you're saying is this is, I'm assuming specifically in the realm of strategy, but just like all the different cores are then managing all the different people.
Well, you're essentially giving it, because AI is currently CPU bound. If you look at SimCity, the reason you're getting shitty frames on 100,000 plus resident city, supposedly, is because of the CPU. And that's because you're running off eight parallel streams. Hey, what's up, Shinboy?
Hey, I'm here.
You've come in a pretty interesting part of the conversation.
Yeah, I know. We have a queen to talk about StarCraft at some point. This podcast is doing
We're kind of talking about StarCraft. We're talking about AI. Specifically, in this case,
God, my headphones are too loud. Hold on.
AI is done on an old PC game. So PC games run off the CPU. So you're running off like what? A couple of threads, like a hundred, maybe 16 or 24 threads. Eight threads. Exactly. But if you could get a GPU equivalent processing unit appended to your GPU as like a physics, as we're getting in a moment, that could be amazing. If you could have 100 thread AI core embedded into GPUs in the future, that'd be awesome. And that's what I'm hoping for.
But and expensive, mind you, to produce and to research.
Well, like to research, yes, but to produce, it would be a cut down version of a current.
Like secretly, the hope is that like that research is being done at like Valve or something.
We don't know that.
I mean,
In the middle, why would you do that, Darren?
Like, hardware manufacturers, for what they're doing with hardware going forward, it's increased physics, and I think that's the current thing we're aiming for. So hopefully, when we go past that, they'll start looking at augmenting AI. That would be interesting. Anyway,
I don't know.
So, Durin, anything else?
I mean, the games still have to support the AI, just going with that.
I mean,
absolutely. It's not just a hardware thing.
But before we went on the tirade,
what is it on StarCraft? Definitely linked to hardware, but it's not only hardware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Durin, what else do you think of StarCraft?
StarCraft's pretty great, guys.
It's definitely
StarCraft. It's awesome. That's good.
I still haven't finished the campaign yet, and I haven't really played much multiplayer because I'm still kind of afraid.
I don't know.
Mostly because like fuck Widowmines, and Blizzard has already like said they are way overpowered.
So
mostly because you lost to Brad.
There was a player game that was played on Giant Bomb Quick Look.
TNT. It was TNT, wasn't it? Or was it,
it was TNT.
It was TNT.
Yeah.
It still gonna be one of my submissions for Quick Look or Giant Bomb Video of the Year.
I didn't know it was Durin.
Yeah. We didn't know if it was our Durin, and like we saw, like, oh wait,
where the Durin would it be?
Yeah. Exactly. That's kind of crazy. It was crazy.
It's a big internet.
I started mousing over with enemy troops. I said Durin. I'm like, Durin? I know that name from somewhere. What the fuck? It was interesting to see.
After he lost, I told him to get his inauguration speech ready because he had just been elected mayor of Scrub City, USA, for losing to Brad.
To be fair, Brad's not terrible at that game.
He's Platinum Leaguer, right?
I mean, neither are you.
Well, he hasn't played in a while, and then again, neither have I. So like
I was just
happy that it wasn't like a complete stomp. Like we actually were very back and forth through the majority of that game. I just made some really bad late game mistakes. So
but I have to say, Brad's trouble with the Widow Mines with when he was versing the Terran fucking cracked me up. I hated it as well at the same time because I was like, dude, how can you keep making the same mistake over and over again?
Yeah.
Well, Like
that was awesome in itself, and then it evolved into, all right, let's get the guys from GameSpot in the other room to join us.
We're also that was so great. StarCraft stream.
No, when they mentioned it, I just started watching both streams.
Yeah, same.
And the GameSpot guys had stopped playing and were just watching the stream of Giant Bomb.
Too good.
But you know what, though? After they decided to cross streams, the viewership of GameSpot's like more than doubled.
It shot up by 500. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah Jeff yelled in the Giant Bomb chat and was like, "You're welcome, you guys."
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty great. Oh, but yeah, no, StarCraft 2 is a great game.
Which audience is bigger nowadays? GameSpot's audience is probably
bigger because they're more worldwide than Giant Bomb is.
I don't know.
They have a lot of.
I think GameSpot has more throughput, but less dedicated.
I think GameSpot has more traffic, but since Giant Bomb does have the regular weekly events, like for anybody who wants to check out, Thursday Night Throwdown every Thursday night, and the new Wednesday show, I guess.
Thursday Night Throwdown.
If you're a subscriber, Friday show, because you know half the week is Giant Bomb Field, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because like on I think it was on that stream it was on the Wednesday stream. Chris Waters said that you know they run two streams every day, two live streams every day on GameSpot.
Yeah,
but the thing is they do, but it's almost all done by their UK and Australian offices.
Oh, really?
They do the majority of their work.
Multiple streams.
One of the guys who is on the Comedy Button, like most of the guys, if you listen to the Comedy Button, work for either like Rev3 or IGN or one of those sites. I forgot which one it was, but they run like three shows a day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's pretty ridiculous.
Well, what's his face? The guys who do Guildcast. Fuck, what were they called again?
Nah, they're not.
That website.
Gamebreaker.
They do streams every day.
Aren't they a .tv site as well? Like, isn't it?
I think those sites have been built from the ground. For one, they're PC focused in a lot of cases when it comes to their streaming. And two, like they've been built from the ground up to do streaming, whereas Giant Bomb has been built to the ground up to do everything. So you can definitely see.
It was mostly built as a wiki that evolved into a video and live stream site.
It's interesting. Jeff had a bunch of. Jeff's a crazy person. He has a bunch of ideas always, so it's pretty cool.
Not necessarily good ideas, but definitely crazy ideas.
Definitely has ideas.
A crazy good idea.
Yeah, good idea.
Absolutely. All right. So yeah, that's. I've also been playing Tomb Raider.
StarCraft discussion because I'm happy.
Yes,
guys. Look what I have. Look what I have. Show it to the camera.
Oh, for the people.
It's backwards, but whatever.
PAX East 3-day. What crazy question are you going to ask the Giant Bomb panel?
Probably none.
Oh,
that will be my crazy question.
Okay,
it's really difficult.
I'm going to ask them. I'm going to ask them when the next endurance run is. Obviously,
I'm really sad that they're not doing an endurance run anytime soon. I love the endurance runs.
You don't know that.
I didn't really like Blaz Blue or whatever the fuck that game was.
Blaze Blue.
What are you saying?
What was that game? Chrono Trigger.
Okay.
You don't like Chrono Trigger?
Right. I don't know. Maybe
Chrono Trigger.
This is where we differ, my friend.
Chrono Trigger was awful.
Console gaming, man. Console game. Again, throwing gang signs. No reason. I don't. I'm not affiliated with a gang. I don't know what a gang sign really is. Like, do they even?
That's not a gang sign.
I'm trying to
put that. That's trying like, to that's rock, isn't it?
Quickly before we get to what Shinpo has been playing, there's like there's the Italian mafia. There's like you know the street gangs, I guess, from Chicago. There's
Yakuza.
Warriors. There's Yakuza. Does India have any like triad gangs or anything?
Probably. I'm not exactly.
They're all just giant just herds of elephants.
The Curry Crew. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh God, that would be a funny name.
That would be frightening.
Oh, this is weird for the live stream, Brian.
Where are we going?
Shinboy, what have you been playing, sir?
I've been playing.
No, Duren only been playing StarCraft.
I've also been playing Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay.
It's also really good. I haven't gotten as far as Thurb, but I'm a good ways through it. I would guess about three quarters.
Dern and I played a video game last night.
Okay, well, we did. Dern.
I was actually hoping you'd be on by the time we got to that. What was that, Thurb?
Have you gone through a lot of the tombs? Have you been raiding tombs?
I think I've raided about three, four tombs somewhere
around. Reeve?
Three or four.
Okay. That's pretty much the same amount I've played or I've done through the entire game.
Oh, wow.
It's just because as soon as I get in, I recognize how to do every puzzle.
I guess your Laura isn't much of a Tomb Raider.
No, not really.
But I'd like to raid her.
She hates tombs.
We put Noob in like a timeout because that's just too easy of a joke.
Yeah. Who knows? But yeah, what do you think of Tomb Raider, sir? How do you like it?
I actually am liking it a lot. I'm kind of doing the almost exclusively Bo playthrough.
I am talking bad about it, but I do like as dumb as the combat is, it's very fluid, and I'm just like I'm.
That's the thing, though, is I have no problems with the combat because I played all of the other Tomb Raider games. This combat is fine; it doesn't take me 20 bullets to kill a fucking wolf.
So yesterday, I had one of the most infuriating moments of my last couple of weeks. I listened to the Weekend Confirmed podcast, which is the Garnet Lee podcast, and he dislikes that he has many criticisms about the latest Tomb Raider because it's so different from the Tomb Raiders preceding it. So especially when it comes to the exploration and lack of tombs and that kind of stuff. And he also disliked the combat. Like in general, like where do you guys stand on this? How do you think of the new mix, this remixed Tomb Raider? Do you think this is a way for Tomb Raider to go forward? Or do you think this is just like, do you want to see them step back a bit? Go.
I see.
A lot more attractive in the new game.
I think this was them trying to branch out and do like new things, like we've seen with Thieves Among Us. What's the
Uncharted?
Uncharted. Thank you.
Uncharted.
Okay, Thieves Among Us. What?
Yeah. So like trying to do Uncharted stuff as well as you know playing homage to the old Tomb Raiders. I think they've done like a better job of doing both like sides as well as making a good game than like DMC. And DMC was a good game, so like that's I think better job than that.
Okay, cool.
I think I don't know. I think that with this Tomb Raider, I definitely like the direction they're going. It is kind of a shame that there's not a lot of tomb raiding considering it is called Tomb Raider. But what I'm really excited for with this game, having not even completed it yet, is I'm already looking forward to what they do next and like seeing the next game be the real, you know, proper Tomb Raider that everyone wants.
The way I see it is that they wanted to make this really open world with a lot of exploration and a lot of tombs and all that, but they were limited by hardware. Right. With the next, row of consoles coming out, they'll be able to do that.
I don't think it's even that. I think they were more so limited by, like, they wanted to tell a story that has never been told. They wanted to give Lara
origin
character.
Story.
They wanted to give her character because she's never really...
Wait,
she's been very, very two-dimensional. Yes. She's been very two-dimensional up to this point in previous games. I mean, you got a little bit of her backstory in some of the older ones, or some of the more recent ones.
No, I think you'll find that those games were rendered in 3D. Thank you.
God damn it, I wanted to say it, but I restrained myself.
The story was pretty good. Durin, there will be a point very near the end. I'm just going to say, when you see the light, Durin, I'm not like just...
Don't go towards it.
No, you'll just... like that's the part where I just kept saying, no. No, bad Tomb Raider stuff.
Well, okay, no, I might have gotten to that point. It's not unless you're talking literally light.
It is very much near the end of the game.
It has gone Tomb Raider already. Okay. It has gone last act of Uncharted already, where creatures have started showing up.
Okay.
But I'm okay with that because, like, again, I played all those old Tomb Raiders.
There were T-Rexes in them. There were creatures. There were skeletons that you had to kill. Like it, this is not out of the comfort zone of a Tomb Raider game at all.
Yep.
I'm actually okay with all of that. But like I was getting at though is like they needed to tell a story with her. Underworld. They started to do some of that in there where she like was searching for stuff about her parents and they kind of had a little bit of emotion there, sort of. But they really kind of went all out with this one, and I feel like again, I think they wanted to do a proper Tomb Raider game, you know, lots of tombs traveling around the world and everything. But in order to tell the story that they feel like they needed to tell, they needed to put this game out the way it was right now, and you know, hope to God that everyone loves it because then they can make the Tomb Raider game they really wanted to make.
Yeah,
so we talked about it last week, but how effective has that storytelling been for you guys? Like now, I enjoyed it.
Like I realized, like the reason why I didn't like the game was just because it's more of the same, but in a good way. This does a really good job of it, and it makes me also very excited for what's to come because they do really set that stuff up near the end. I'm trying not to spoil anything.
So you find that progression from her, like where she starts and where she ends up. Believable.
It happens a little too quick. I feel like it kind of makes sense because she is going through some shit. So she does kind of have to very quickly, for lack of a better term, man up. But
excuse me, that is a sexist term.
I was waiting for you, boy. I was waiting for it.
No, that's nice. I mean, nice. Pair. What are we talking about here? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see when the next game comes out. But you know, she has
pretty, a pretty big pair. Thank you very much. The pair is pretty large.
Just expect her to grow up.
Question for you: have you like? I don't want to spoil too much, but have you made it back to the Endurance?
No.
Wait.
Okay.
You're doing a Tomb Raider Endurance run?
You have to run to, like all the way to it? No. So like that is there's very much like storytelling and survival and all that near the beginning, and then it gets to like a little bit of action shooting, and then there's like when you get to that, that's like, oh wow, they're a little bit of nod back to it, like, you know, origin story and feelings and all that, but then they just go all out with explosions later on. I don't know. They really did a good job in the beginning.
I have to say, like, overall, throughout the game, with the exception of varied environments, I do honestly feel like this Tomb Raider out Uncharted.
Now, a question, one of the things I had...
I take up Rich with that statement.
I played all the Uncharted, so it's not like I'm just saying that because I love Tomb Raider.
Yeah, but you like them.
Do you think?
No, I did. I loved all three Tomb Raiders. I loved all three Uncharted.
I don't think you like them. I don't think you like them as much as. Oh, I've only played the first two.
I played about half of the third one.
I got up into the cruise ship in the third one, and I'm just like, this is terrible level design, and I stopped playing.
I think two is one of the best games of its era.
Sure.
I do want to ask you, the issue I had, especially near very early in the beginning, which I'm assuming he's gone past, is the QTEs, especially the wolf one.
QTEs are good in all video games.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right.
All right, so real quickly, we'll go through here. All right, so if you're playing this game on a console, you probably are having no problems with QTEs and you're wondering why I just facepalmed.
PC controls?
I'm playing on PC. And so like the difference is
without a gamepad?
Without a gamepad. Because if it's a shooter, I tend to prefer using
the
keyboard and mouse. Yeah. So if you are using a gamepad and you're doing the QTEs, you're going to have triggers like shake the analog stick back and forth, press X, press A, those kinds of things, right? And those button presses are color-coded just as the buttons are. On the PC version, all of my keys are the same color. So they decided when they were going to make these QTEs, they were going to follow suit. And the color of the button that shows up is the same color regardless of which button it is. So they're all red. I should say. They're both red. There's an interact button, and then there's a, like, fight button, I guess, associated to the E and F by default. However, it goes a step further, and instead of showing E and F on the prompts, as you would do, again, with the console equivalents, they decided to use symbols for them. So one of the symbols is an exclamation point. Yeah, one of the symbols is an exclamation point. The other symbol is like a hand. And so you have
There may have been multiple times on different days where, like, as soon as I sat back down to play, I had to look up the keybinds, like, okay, this is what this one will probably mean, and this with, like, this button. Yeah. So I had to remap it in my head.
And so you have about a half a second during these QTEs to figure out which button you need to be pressing.
So through many of the early QTEs, I was restarting them like 6, 7, 8+ times.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was just, yeah. So, it was a really rough start.
It's one of those things where it shows the prompt for the QTE where the action's happening.
Roughly.
Or does it do the God of War thing where actually, like, it just describes into the top of your screen?
No, it's in the general area.
Showing you, like, of, just, like having the prompt roughly where she's going to be. Like, it's.
I actually prefer it the other way. I prefer it when it actually just puts, like, this prompt is always at the top of the screen. This prompt is always on the right-hand side.
Well, again, though, the problem with that,
that
is...
That kind of fixes that.
I don't think that would really fix it in this case, because, again, I think what would fix it in this case is, if you're going to do the QTEs the way they did them, offer another, like, 2 or 3 seconds to let your brain process what you're needing to press.
Oh, it's bigger, that's the biggest problem. Right.
Well, okay.
Well, like, what's so hard about just making, like, LMB and RMB just, like, in boxes? I don't get it.
I don't. Well, Durin...
Because then they have to reprogram it. It wouldn't be the actual.
Well, no, Shibboy, it's actually not even left click right click. It's literally like
E and F,
or like an E and key and F key. Like,
yeah, well, exactly. Get it. That's what should have happened.
But Durin, here's something that like I talked
pretty,
about last
that would be
week.
Pretty cool if it was like.
Most games do.
Yeah, would you rather have do. After you failed it 5 times, it gives you that. Okay, now instead of 1 second to execute it, you have 3 seconds, and it's a pause or a slow down time. Or would you prefer just, if you fail 5 times, you just make it through?
Neither.
It plays as a cutscene.
Neither. I'd rather they just fix the fucking problem. Like, there shouldn't be a, oh, well, okay, since you failed this 5 times, we'll go ahead and bring out the T now for your T-ball so you can make sure you can still play. Like, no, your game is...
They shouldn't play the game for you.
Yeah, your game is flawed and it needs fixed. Like, there shouldn't be a workaround. It should just be fucking fixed.
Is there a dodge button? In Tomb Raider, like if you're being hit by like
there's like a dodge roll kind of out of the way or whatever. Yeah.
So how cool? Because I kind of coming back to me because I think DMC hit on something with that level. Do you know the level I'm talking about, Durin? With the slow mo level.
No, probably not.
I haven't seen you play DMC much, Durin.
I've played it in a while.
Sold millions of copies.
So in DMC. They essentially revolutionized quick times. Like no one has called them out. Well, barely anyone has called them out in it, except for like maybe the Jibom.
Because quick time events suck all the time, no matter how much you reinvent them.
Exactly. Because in DMC, they just don't fucking have them. In the one level where it would be filled with quick times, what they did instead was they had the level play out normally, but in the moment that would have been like normally a quick time, they actually slow down time incredibly. Things are still moving. I can still see the events happening that you have to stop, but you actually have to do everything else normally. So you're platforming or you're hitting the keys you'd be expecting to. So the grapple key, the correct grapple key, pushing away key, whatever. And you're doing that with the controls you've been using for the entire game. So if this game instead, if Tomb Raider instead slowed down time in the wolf sequence or equivalent, and you just hit the dodge button as if you would in normal combat, wouldn't that have been a better way of handling it?
There are instances where something like that would happen. And there actually is a point where, like, the very first time you encounter wolves, you are on your back on the ground, and I think you're attached to, like, a bear trap or something, and you hear them kind of rustling in the grass.
Oh, God!
And
what
as
is
they,
happening?
Like, as they jump out of the grass, like, this immediately slows down, and you got to aim your shot and try to kill. So, I mean, it does have some of that.
Of course you do.
But well, and the instances
have you
where
the
they're...
Yet?
The what one?
The trench gun?
Trench gun? I don't know. I use a bow.
Trench?
Shotgun.
Yes, I have a shotgun. Yeah.
Okay. There's times when you're like, I don't think it's a spoiler, but you're going down a river and you have to use that to break debris.
Oh, yeah.
And time slows down as well with that.
Yeah. So there are instances of that. The problem is like where the QTEs happen in this, it's like bringing back the wolf instance is like,
there's a lot of QTEs.
If a wolf is already on top of you and then you now have to mash the button to get the wolf back off of you, or a guy grabbed you.
Is there a melee button that you could be hitting?
It depends on what they're...
I tried.
That's the problem.
It's
the problem is it depends what happens. Yeah, they're all scripted. And it depends on what happens as to whether you're pressing the melee button or whether you're pressing the interact button. And sometimes you're swapping between the two during the same QTE. So, like, you'll be mashing the F key and then swap to having to press the E key.
Yeah, no, I've started hating QTEs more and more and more and more.
They're terrible.
Because I didn't actually mind them back in the day, but now it's just
like... Okay, so yeah, like, they were like a new thing, and it was like, oh, these are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tomb Raider. What else?
But yeah, so going back to it. So you think that where this game ends, or Thurbleton, where you are now, you'd actually be able to answer this, but Durin, like, where you see the game progressing, do you see the next game being entirely different? Because it kind of has to be. This they don't have the origin story anymore. As Riot
it entirely different story-wise, yeah. I think the next one is going to be the proper Tomb Raider, Tomb Raiding thing going on, but they needed to set up the mechanics in this one. So I think the mechanics will definitely still carry over entirely. But we will actually have a proper setting.
Easy puzzles and lots of shooting? Is that
the mechanics, like what they've done with Tomb Raider mechanically compared to the previous ones. The lots of shooting, I think that that's going to probably not be quite as much if they decide to make it more like Tomb Raider. There'll be a lot more puzzles. The puzzles in this one were easy, but also there were very, very few of them. I mean, the puzzles in the old Tomb Raider games weren't necessarily super difficult. It was more that the game was filled with them.
And then more so like the tombs, the ones that I went through at least, were just like it was one puzzle and like a half puzzle.
Not even like, half. A lot of them were just one. It was like you did this one thing and then you jumped on the thing, jumped up, and you were there at the end.
It was like an entry room and then just a puzzle room, and it's a very small room, and then it's like, okay, how do I get past this? I got past it. Okay, here's a giant chest full of like gold doubloons and stuff.
Yeah,
like, I'll take one item from it.
Almost like it was a hint at like this is what we're like. This is similar to what you can expect from our next game. This is what we wanted to do. So that stuff like is really interesting, and I think that's
going to be the other way around. It could very terrifyingly be stated that this was just like, hey, we threw this in there for the people who like the old Tomb Raiders. We're not going this direction with the next one, but hey.
Well, I mean, hopefully they've like just thrown all these different elements at people, and the feedback they get from it will sort of show what to expect from the new one.
Yeah.
And thankfully, almost every developer is being like, we want to raid tombs. Like, what are you doing? Most of them are like, we want more than just these one puzzle environments. So hopefully, going forward, they will expand that.
But at the same time, thankfully, it also got very, very good reviews, and I believe, like, consequently sold very well, so we can be pretty certain that we will get another Tomb Raider game, and hopefully they will listen to that feedback.
Yep. Before we move on from Tomb Raider, just one last question. What do you guys think about the character of Laura herself?
Robot Noob.
Robot Noob. Like, oh God, that's scary.
What do we think of Robot? Or what do we think of?
What do we think of Robot?
It's like the thing about video games these days. Like, characters are fucking impervious to pain. Basically, you can get like shot in the head, keep on moving. Like,
all right, yeah,
the truth is revealed,
and she's like a realistic person compared to a superhuman. What do you think? I'd like to see that a lot more in games.
I'm totally okay with it.
Jeff was right.
I think I'm totally okay with like I like what they've done with the character and made her more of a real person, but I do think there were times where they maybe did go a little more over the top with the black and white death screens.
Yeah,
really? Those things you just described to me at the moment. You're in a bear trap and being attacked by a wolf at the same time. That's just people die. Like that's how you die. That's not how you.
Well, no, she had a weapon. She had a weapon.
Here's a little bit of the issue. They did a really good job of like beating the crap out of her, and like whenever the napalm
a good job of beating the crap
whenever the napalm guys attacked, she like rather than just like get hit by the damage, it would show her like dodging out of the way sort of thing, and like, oh, you got hurt, but you didn't actually get hurt, you just like, you know, maybe it's after escaping so many times you will actually die. But like the fact is that all of this happens within like 24 to 36 hours. And so if like they manage to make the game where it's okay, you get the crap beat out of you, but then you also have to take time to heal or something. I don't know. It's just that, and I was getting hit by grenades and I was fine.
Cause like one of the biggest problems I have with first person shooters is when you shoot people, they're just dead. Like in most combat, I want them to be wounded and crying for help. That's what I loved about Red Orchestra, is like you get people slowly wounding and being
terrible,
like,
oh, person.
But yeah. The thing is, it increases the atmosphere of the game, because when you're instantly killing everyone with one shot, that's like, oh fuck, it's just an arcade game.
To that end, I think it's just you don't want to do a AAA game where people are screaming out in pain when they like that's making a broken game.
Well, you have to get to a point like there's a point of realism that is okay to go down, but you still have to make the game fun to play.
I didn't necessarily like enjoy, like I enjoyed, but I didn't find believable the fact that when like you shot some guy's buddy, he goes, "Oh man, she's a good shot."
Wow.
Wow.
I think if New Brahma, if this game had like realistic, limb-tearing, and just blood, or that's if what you stab someone in the neck, then you can see their jugular at their neck. So
and that I'd play that game.
It would be a good game and might be more immersive for it, but you'd never sell that.
You know the game is Sniper Elite B2?
It would be illegal. Like, you couldn't.
You know the game Sniper Elite B2?
Yes.
Things are crazy. That's the only reason I bought that game. That is genuinely the only
I'm surprised that game gets rating for it. Sure.
And the thing is, like, I'm not asking for game breaking. I'm asking for a little bit more atmosphere and realism to my games, which I think Lara Croft added that atmosphere to the game. Where you genuinely care about the state of your
character. More atmosphere and better atmosphere is always good, just I don't think that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Well, the only real problem I think that there really was with the game is they did make her more of a realistic person, and she was able to die in you know, ways that normal people would die, like being impaled and what have you. But the problem I had was, like, where she was the most real and her deaths were, I guess, the most convincing was in, like, very quick sequences where you didn't make the right split-second decision, and now you're impaled through your neck, and you're dead.
Oh, that's really
like, in actual combat, that never really happened. Like, you weren't really a bullet sponge, but you could definitely take a few hits.
Right. Yeah, I definitely understand where it's like, if it's realistic, then all of the non-realistic stuff is even more contrasted by the realism. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's a good middle ground they need to find.
There's always been that question in at least for the last many years that I've heard, which is, why aren't we getting that game where you kill only two up to four people for the entire duration of the game? And that be where the realism comes from, is that it gives them a chance to make those characters more fleshed out and like awesome, and also like adds the element of Lara Croft in this game. If she didn't kill thousands of people, there wouldn't be so much of a narrative disconnect. Like, what would happen if they could do that? But
I don't
even know how you do make that game.
I think they easily could have. I think the biggest problem with this game had, it was the fucking hundreds of people at least that she killed throughout the game. And, you know, again, the lack of tomb raiding that she did. And I think those things could have been done in here. I think that by just the nature of not having a bunch of dudes for her to kill, it would have given way for a lot more exploration to happen. And then for the encounters to instead be with the wildlife of the
the
island. I mean, you look at Far Cry 3, and while granted, in Far Cry 3, you were also killing a ton of fucking dudes. The bigger threat really is the environment around you. You could be, you know, the best fucking sniper, and you're going to get taken out by a fucking tiger that you didn't see come up behind you. And I think doing things like that Tomb Raider would have definitely been a little bit better in the right direction of what people were kind of expecting from that game.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a weird example, but like Shadow of the Colossus, there's only like 16 enemies in the whole game, so each one means something.
And imagine if the next Tomb Raider game took
16. Is Shadow of the Colossus.
Well, it's not going to. It's not imagine it did.
Or even to a more recent example.
Because like, you could make more realistic fights if you didn't fight a million guys.
Yeah. It's not that simple either.
Like, fights aren't – it's not like you're mowing down like strong men.
Looking at a more recent example, though,
I think we've delved enough into the Tomb Raider that is Lara Croft. I'm curious what it was Shinboy and Duren were playing these past few days.
Not the past few days. It was basically just last night.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, following the announcement of Saints Row 4, Duren and I decided to play some Saints Row the Third.
Oh, I would have joined in on that.
Well, I was just playing, just because I was like, I should finally finish that game. And then Duren was like, oh man, I just realized I could totally join in on your game. So he totally joined in on my game.
And then we didn't get anything done.
Our characters ended up naked somehow.
Saints Row?
Oh yeah, that happened.
I like Saints Row 2 better than Saints Row 3.
That trailer was pretty cool.
Are you a fan of open world like GTA or anything like that, Cynic? Or just
Unless you like GTA for the story, then you probably
My favorite open world game by far was Infamous. So that's where I'm coming from when it comes to this kind of stuff. I don't like just the gun and shooting and that kind of stuff. Open world. I haven't even played Sleeping Dogs.
Wait! Hang on! You don't like shooting.
Yep.
But the game you played was you realize your hand was a fucking gun in that game, right?
Well, but you could
always
You didn't have to use it.
Well, not even that. Like, you could fly. You could skate on
power
lines. It was a superhero game.
You could.
I was just calling out the gun thing. Oh god, that mission!
God, that boss mission. That mission made me stop.
So bad. And the worst part was, if I recall correctly, that was the mission in the demo.
Oh, actually, no. I redact that statement. I redact that statement. My favorite open world game is Skyrim. But
okay,
going backwards, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the first person setting, one.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had fun with that. Like I said, we didn't really make much progress. But
speak for yourself. We wound up naked somehow.
Yeah, there was that. Like the very first mission we did was the one where Zemo sells you as a sex slave, and I'm like, "Oh, Shin, you're gonna enjoy this one." And then we wake up naked, and that was awkward.
I'm just like, "This is weird," especially since we were both playing dude characters.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's pretty cool.
Oh no! Oh no, Dern! I didn't think of something.
What?
You know my taunt?
Yeah.
I should have totally tried that in that mission. For anyone who doesn't know, I pick the jacking off animation as my taunt.
Nice.
And in that mission,
in a truly Saints Row fashion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely. So, are you guys excited for being the president?
Probably. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I'm tentatively excited for that game. I am a little concerned because I feel like it's a little too soon, and I feel like they're pushing this out. I mean, I basically kind of agreed with what they talked about on the. I think it was a Friday show where.
Oh yeah, no, it's Friday.
Right. Where it's clear like they're wanting to get this out there before GTA 5. They more specifically want to get this out there before next gen stuff comes out, and this looks dated as fuck. But at the same time, knowing that you know very public knowledge that this originated as DLC for Saints Row 3, and it looks very much like Saints Row 3. I think in some respects it's going to be a real hard sell for a lot of people, especially if they decide to charge full price.
Yeah.
Do you think this might have been sort of rushed by THQ?
Yeah, yes.
Since it was so far ahead, 100%. Deep Silver was just like, absolutely. Might as well just put this out anyway.
Absolutely, it was rushed by THQ.
That's exactly what
THQ wanted about. To get this thing out because if they could have rode their thing a bit longer and gotten this out there, it may not have saved them, but it might have at least brought them into Q3.
It might have bought them some time.
Yeah,
yeah. I think while they were with THQ, they probably tried pulling all the stops with this game. So like, yeah, like go above the roof. You are the president. All these other like crazy things to
you
try
have superpowers.
And, yeah,
yeah.
For a game that prides itself on its realism, that's a little bit too extreme.
Well, so the thing is though, is that you're inside this Matrix thing. So none of this is actually the real Stillwater. You are in like the virtual.
I'm actually
Stillwater.
Kind of disappointed by this. Even though I'm not a person who likes Saints Row, but as a person who understands why people like Saints Row, it would have been better to me if Saints Row 4 was the presidential election campaign.
You know what? So I would love for them to, like, do you think they can turn around a Saints Row 5, assuming 4 is good, turn it around by, what, 2016?
2014? They can get it done by 2015.
No, the last one was in 2011.
Oh, you're talking about the election?
Yeah, the election.
Oh, election.
Oh, yeah. Oh, election.
Right.
I thought you were talking about Saints Row game.
No, that's election.
So Saints Row 5, time for the election, being the presidential election campaign, goes backwards in time. You replay that.
Or you're running for re-election.
Yeah, like you
they're running for re-election against Kilbane, unless he dies in this one. I don't know.
I think it's just trying to get
your main character walking into the White House.
Just trying to top its ridiculousness, like getting
Johnny Gadget shows up somehow.
Where could it go from the last Saints Row? It would be in president. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of why, like, with this one, I'm kind of interested in playing it. I'm probably going to get. I really hope it's not. I hope if it is full price that it is justified. But I don't know that I'm going to be in it for Saints 5 because I don't feel like after this they could actually top it again. I think that 5 is going to be a real disappointment.
Where Volition is destroyed in its Saints Row franchise. It is the battle where GTA 5 comes out the clear victor.
Mecha Noob.
Oh, no, it's victory. I think they're barely in the same genre anymore.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
but the thing is, people will step into the same genre. Many people would choose, like, they would give the option between Saints Row 4 and GTA 5.
But I mean, they're different audiences, really.
Oh, yeah, they're different audiences, but to a lot of people, they're mutually exclusive.
I would have said that before Saints Row the Third came out.
But I don't know. Like, talking with a bunch of people, like, because we're pretty in depth into the gaming industry, but a lot of people who play these games aren't. And to them, these things seem very mutually exclusive.
I don't know. I feel like if you watch that trailer and you watch whatever thing Rockstar puts out for GTA 5, those two games are going to look nothing alike. You're not going to be flying around with superpowers in GTA 5.
Yeah.
So those games are going to look extremely different. Just in the trailers, they may be in the same genre and open world games.
I think that still. We will never, well, at least not in the next couple of years, live in a world where Saints Row sells more than GTA 5.
No, no, absolutely.
I think GTA reaches more people than almost any other game does. But that does not mean... New problem is gone, isn't he? That does not mean
trying that... to de-robot himself.
I told him. But yeah, I don't think that that means that there's not a space for Saints Row. Saints Row will still grow. I think a bunch of people... If anything, the game industry is getting bigger. More and more people are playing games. Yeah. So there's more and more room for Saints Row.
There's more potential. Yeah, absolutely. I just feel like with 5, that might be the first time where like it comes out and everyone's like, well, I mean, it's I guess it's good. It's just it's not as good as 4.
Saints Row 5, going to be play as... Really? In Saints Row 5, you because play as Third Horseman in Darksiders. I mean, it makes sense.
My idea for Saints Row 5, and tell me if this seems exciting to you, but... You've been this is your second, saying they don't do the presidential election. You're now the president. Aliens land. It's Mass Effect Saints Row.
Well, see, the problem is aliens.
You're expanding through the galaxy.
Aliens are already in 4, though.
Yeah, but like, it's literally a galactic, you're in space.
Like if it just becomes like galactic
now,
battles.
It's Crisis Saints Row. Then you just got to go to the next level.
Yeah, and all right. Need a Star Wars shit. Yeah.
Fair enough. Right. All right.
Yep. Okay. So, Aliens, so Saints Row 6 will not be able to top 5. Heard it here
at
first.
At some point, it has to stop. Okay. No, Saints Row guys go back in time to the dinosaurs. And they
it's basically like Will Wright gets involved and it becomes Spore, where you follow the life of a saint from like the basic cellular stage all the way through now we're in space.
Oh man,
I'd play it.
Yeah, the digging themselves into a bigger and bigger hole. I agree, but there's still space for some great games.
Well, then you'll just be able to rocket, like, you get the jetpack and just fly out of it, just Mars.
Just fly out of the screen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, before we end up in a big hole of Saints Row, Shinboy, anything you've been playing? I believe during
Saints Row.
No. Okay. Anything else? No.
I finished BioShock.
Oh, okay.
Oh, how'd you like it?
I love that game. I was like,
are you going to try and get BioShock 2 out of the way before Infinite comes out? Okay. Yeah, I was like, because that's a close time.
It's pretty certain about nope.
No.
I mean, you probably could. It's linear as fuck. But there's enough. No need.
I mean, if you follow the all-knowing arrow, the first BioShock is actually fairly linear.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, like, 2 is actually linear.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, you can't even travel back.
Yeah, I was like, on BioShock, I'm like, this game it holds up all right, but it's not that great. And then I got to Fort Frolic, I think is the level. The dude with, the theater guy.
Mm. Famous level.
Yeah. And I got to that level, I'm like, okay, this game's awesome. I can see why people really like this game. And then that escort mission at the end is really dumb. That's about it.
I mean, it's an escort
and
mission.
The last one is really dumb.
From Shinboy and Plague. Are you going to post a review on Plague and Play of it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to review Infinite, if that counts. Hopefully we'll play that. That game comes out on Tuesday. I think I have work that day.
Most games come out on Tuesday. And
the game, this podcast goes up. I mean, so the day this podcast goes up, actually, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of crazy. It's great because I have over on my desk somewhere, I don't know where it is, I have the whole pack schedule, like all the panels. I had a couple of guys over that I'm going with, and we went through everything. And Saturday at noon – IGN is hosting a panel with Ken Levine and some other guys from Irrational talking about BioShock Infinite. And I am so going to go because I want to see Ken Levine in full panic mode like 3 days before his game comes out.
Indeed.
Awesome.
Oh. I hate to be a downer, guys, but like Saints Row, BioShock is not my thing.
BioShock is fantastic.
Did you know the underwater city of BioShock is actually based on the Gungan city of Boznaz, where Jar Jar Binks is from?
Zero people knew that and zero people care.
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks and is actually not, the model actually not, for yes, the big
Well, it makes me happy to know that Jar Jar Binks, like Rapture, is just destroyed.
What are you talking about? Jar Jar Binks created the StarCraft engine.
Shinboy, anything else you've been playing? Just that's it. Guild Wars.
Guild Wars. Yep. Saints Row. Let's talk about Saints Row.
No. I've been playing Dark Souls.
I've been playing
some weird games, and Hugh Rama can back me up on that.
I'm trying to think. I know there's something else.
Yeah, you don't want me to talk about what I've been playing.
No, that's why I'm trying to think.
I've been playing Rift.
What do you play? Oh God. You're playing Rift?
I was playing Rift yesterday.
And Terra. Don't forget
Terra. Yeah, Albina and I were playing Terra yesterday.
How was Rift?
I've been dreaming about playing Cyberpunk 2077.
Rift, playing it aside from the subscription model, because that didn't matter at the time that I was playing that game, I can't actually remember why I stopped playing it, because it actually is fun. And makes me realize that, like, Holy Trinity totally can still work.
Yeah, if you do it right.
Yeah. So it makes me kind of sad, because, like, basically what I did is I was setting things up. I should be having a beta key for Defiance for next week, so I'll be playing some of that. Hopefully streaming it. I keep saying that, and I don't stream anything. It's the new, like, sci-fi third-person shooter MMO being released by the dudes who made Rift that is also, like, associated with a sci-fi TV show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I was setting all that stuff up. Well, I went to log into my Tron Worlds account, and, like, they had changed their security stuff, so I needed to change my password and change my security questions, and the reward for doing so was 3 days of playtime for Rift. So I was like, all right, sure, why not? I'll load that back up again. So I did, and it was actually kind of fun. I played a tanky character, and it was really cool to play a tanky character again. It's been a long time since I've done that.
Now, the main thing about Rift is the whole, like, for lack of a better term, the event system, very similar to Guild Wars 2, just events, well, right?
That's one of the big things, yeah. There's that.
Okay. They do their soul system as well. Really, really weird.
Yeah, like that. You have, like, souls that you choose, and that basically each soul represents essentially one tree of your balance or of your.
Balance tree. Just like the thing when you log on, you go out and do it's those big rifts,
events,
right?
Yeah, it's like the static quests, and then those rift events are the big thing for that game. Yeah, definitely.
Whereas, like, with Guild Wars, there's most people do dungeons or WoW or something like that. Today,
there are dungeons and there are raids and stuff too. Like those rifts are more like the equivalent in Guild Wars 2 to dynamic events.
Okay,
they're things you can do while you're questing in a zone.
Are they still pretty prevalent? Like you go out and, like, when you start playing the game, it's the same roughly level of craziness going on.
Not nearly like it used to be. No, they definitely seem a lot more sparse than they were before. I never once, I mean, granted, I only played up to, like, level 13 or something, but I never once came across one that, like, really stopped me from being able to continue questing, which was kind of a problem before, or could be a problem before in a zone that maybe didn't have a lot of people near you.
And this Defiance game looks pretty lame. I don't know, man.
I'll be playing, was it Wildstar? Is that the one you want me to look at, Darren?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll try and snag some beta keys if I can.
It's another interesting looking free to play MMO. It has a WoW like art style. Some interesting looking characters. I like how they're doing the telegraphing in Wildstar, actually. But anyway,
it's just like a big red circle.
Yeah.
Actually filled in.
What? There's one thing I played that I forgot to talk about.
Oh, nope. Pass your turn.
Derp's
moving on.
Never gonna
moving
get
on. Moving on.
I finished the Citadel DLC from Mass
Effect.
Awesome.
Moving on.
And and it was fucking awesome. You guys should play it. Well, anyone who likes Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect 3.
I hope Mass Effect is the free game that EA gives out, because I'm probably...
So oh, that would be good. So hilarious if that was, like, the only one. Here you go, guys. Here's the free game. Here's Mass Effect 3. With no DLC.
Battlefield 4.
No, they're probably going to give an option, like, out of...
Oh, yeah, they will. They already said they will. It'll be Mass Effect 3 and Dragon Age 2.
That game is so good! Holy crap!
What, Dragon Age 2?
No, Mass Effect 3, the DLC. Citadel DLC.
Dragon Age 2 is keeping pile of crap, no.
Characters drunk.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. The other thing that Thurbleton mentioned that I played a bit of was Terra. Albino Jerk and I, last night, were logged in there playing some of Noob's favorite characters.
Sexy little girl.
Yeah, really? Something like that.
I think that sound is creepier now that I know what it looks like when he...
that game continues to be... It has.
Can you look under their skirts?
It has combat.
There's it's not quest better and different. It's just there.
Well, I mean, like it's combat. From what I've heard, was like very relatable to Guild Wars 2.
But it was like, a reticle.
Well, yeah. I mean, like it's very like running around, sort of like active combat.
It's very active combat.
Opposed to standing still combat.
Well, no. See, the thing is, it's active combat in that like you are not standing still in one place, mashing the one key. But most of your abilities require you to stand still while you're using it. You're not really, like, running in circles around them while stabbing them with a sword or anything like that.
To be fair, that's what Guild Wars 2 used to do before they changed that.
Yeah. You mean Guild Wars 1?
2. Didn't they what? First... At first... Or at least 2 was the Guardians Elite. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah, like, the Guild Wars has a couple abilities that, like, you do should probably be standing still to use.
Yeah.
I mean, or some abilities do root you.
Yeah.
So, but there's that.
I know. I was, like, about 7 gigs into downloading that game when I realized it's not worth playing it just to play little girls. Do that in real life.
I'm surprised you have the restraint.
What restraint? I just went out to my nearest element.
So what I've been playing this week...
Moving on.
Yeah, has been... I've been messing around with Gary's Mod mods.
Gary's I have mod. Gary on
what version mod are they on? Are they like 13 or something
it's
13, crazy like
it's
that?
14 or 15.
Baker's Dozen.
13?
But yeah, I've been playing, like, the two big ones that I tried out and really enjoyed was, one was called Death Race?
Death Run.
Death Run. Which, it's sort of like Wipeout, the TV show sort of thing. Like, it's
an obstacle. Die.
It's an obstacle course, except instead of water, it's death. And there's at least one, if not multiple people... looking right next to you on this, like it's a two pathway thing with glass in the middle,
and there's one-way glass.
Well, it's one way or two way, but they're pushing buttons that are killing you.
Yeah, they active.
You know what actually had something similar to that? Shoot Mania.
Yeah, did it really?
Yeah, there were obstacle courses that people put into Shoot Mania that were like levels that you know were just jumps and stuff that you had to do over water, and if you touched the water, you died.
It's not just water, it's like stuff falling on you, like walls coming in, gas, etc.
It's very much like mini room after mini room, and so like some of the maps are really well designed and a lot of fun. That and as well as Trouble in Terrorstown, the people you're playing with,
it's probably like the highest density of prepubescent kids outside of an elementary
school. So for both Death Row
or Xbox Live,
really any game you want to play,
that's probably higher than
Gary's Mod. I'd recommend looking for a good community. This might be a good time, like if you want to try out the PC gaming hub, this might be a good time for.
No, we play. We have a bunch of people who play Trouble in Terrorstown.
No PC gaming hub.
You've never been there.
I have. I just haven't gone back.
All right, well, that or you and a bunch of friends, Gary's Mod. Most people have Half-Life 2, and then it's just a quick add-on to that to get. The other game I've been playing is Trouble in Terrorstown, which, different than Death Run, which is very just a straightforward puzzle game, Trouble in Terrorstown is weird. Have you guys ever played a game called Mafia or Werewolf? It's not a video game. It is like an actual – it's a social game.
Social?
Social experiment.
Other people.
Shinboy?
The only time I got to touch a girl.
People play Werewolf a lot at PAX after
hours. Okay.
So you should definitely give it a shot.
It's is this similar to like, you know, like Manhunt or something like that?
Probably. Here's the premise of all these games. You're a community of innocent people. In Werewolf, you're a villager. In Trouble in Terrorstown, you're an innocent
terrorist. Yeah.
And then there's traitors.
Oh, yes. I have heard of this social version of this game.
But the traitors know who the other traitors are. The innocent people don't know who the traitors are. And everyone is innocent. And so it's all just like, how is this person acting? Did I catch him doing something? And then there's usually a detective or somebody who has some way.
Yeah, the way it works in the social setting is like you play out a scene or something, right? Normally, something like that.
Mafia is more like you just get people just choose who.
People just get a circle and they receive a card face down and they look
okay.
At and that tells them
who they are. I still know what you're talking about, but I was thinking of something else.
Yeah. But with Trouble in Terrorstown, it's just everyone's a terrorist and like terrorist models and all that. And you have like 6 minutes and the terrorists have to kill all the innocents. And they can it's very much a voice comm game. And it's just weird. Noob, can you back me up and explain something?
So I guess it's like a game of tricking other people into thinking you're one of them, but then like convincing them to kill other people, and then you kill all of them. It's basically a mind trick game. So how you can either play it is get in with a group of friends and fuck up the game for everyone else by, you know, teaming up under like a different team speak and then just, you know, plot against people.
Or if you get enough friends, like, you know, 7 or 8, this would like be a great thing to do with your own little guilds. Just like if everyone can get Gary's model when it's on sale.
It's always on sale.
Yeah, it's always
pretty much. Anytime there's a Steam sale, it's on sale.
Bingo. Pick it up, and then you guys just all play against each other because it's a crazy social, just like screw up game.
Yeah, it seems to me like it's a lot of why people like something like DayZ before it turned into pretty much just all griefing.
Yeah.
Where like you walk up to someone, you're like, okay, is this person going to help me or are they going to kill me? I don't know.
Because unlike DayZ, which takes like, you know, you could be working for hours, days of getting all this loot and then you can suddenly get shot, Trouble in Terror Town lasts 7
5 minute rounds.
Yeah, something like that. Sanic, do you have any thoughts on Trouble in Terror Town? Anything in Gary's mod?
You're sort of sitting there looking bored.
Have you had a bad
I'm reading up on how to kill skeletons more easily in Dark Souls. That's literally what I'm doing. So you guys can talk about whatever you want.
Well, I mean, I am looking at the most useful website.
Well, in that case,
I'll post it in the chat for everyone.
In that case, so nice. StarCraft 2, guys. I'll tell you about this.
Saints Row the Third.
Hearts of Iron, their finest hours. So I've basically encircled the German 8th Army along the
area. Can we mute him somehow? Like, is that a thing we can do?
And then it's like the Till Wall pocket, and I slowly tighten the noose. And then
Have you guys played any SimCity since last time?
I've been playing SimCity.
I mean, I posted.
Is that better now? Is that fixed?
Yeah, that's one thing I've been playing SimCity. I've been doing it's for me. It's been kind of weird.
I want to talk about SimCity.
Yeah, Durin's just gonna shit all over it.
I just want to know if it's fixed.
Yes, I know.
Yes, it's fixed. It's not crashing anymore. It's not crashing, and this is a really weird thing, people who have been playing it for longer than an hour, which is pretty much what they're like. The people reviewing it only put that much time into it, I guess, are seeing all these weird flaws.
It's a traffic thing, right? It's
the traffic, basically.
The traffic thing. Yeah,
that's one of the big ones. Yeah. Like the reason the traffic thing is a big deal is because one of the reasons why they said like the cities needed to be as small as they were and why there were some of the limitations there are to the game is and also why one of the reasons why it needs to be always connected is that the simulations are so complex that they had to offload that to their servers and that, you know, you can't have offline mode. First off, that was a complete lie. And second of all, it's been proven in a video that the simulations are not complex. They are incredibly basic.
So dumb.
Well, and
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Cynic, for people who don't know, what is the driving thing?
The traffic thing is, well, from what I know, because I don't play SimCity, but what I've read into it is, as a person who has done simulation work and stuff in the past, I was interested somewhat in hearing about this, in that how they do traffic in SimCity is, people, when they go to work or whatever in your city, the Sims, when they go to work or at a store or whatever, they don't have a house. They don't actually go back to their home. They don't own a house. What they do is they leave their destination and come back to the closest residential place. And when that fills up, inverted commas, they then go to the next most close, so the second closest residential place. And that continues until they go home. Everyone goes home.
So basically,
what happens is, in terms of the city, the most efficient way to try to build a city is a fucking spiral. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, have you seen that video of that dude who just built one road and then it just fucking crashed the game?
No, but that sounds hilarious.
No, what happened?
This dude built the city using one road and it crashed the game. And he can't play the game anymore.
Just like one continuous
road? That's fantastic!
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. So we basically just had like one continuous spiral road, and that's it.
That's it.
So it's, like, it's the best way, but it's the worst way to.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Apparently.
Oh man.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I heard that was the stupidest, one of the dumbest thing I've heard. Because people were noticing for ages and ages that their cities, which are laid out in these wonderful little grids, and they even give you a square grid tool to lay down roads. There were weird traffic jams happening in places that there shouldn't be traffic jams happening. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make sense.
I invested a lot into public transportation, and that like relieved it a little bit, but there were still definitely no problems with that.
Random, and it turns out it's because all those sims had calculated that X place in residential was the closest.
So they were essentially racing each other to that residence.
Yeah.
And everyone else would have filled up and then raced to the next one.
It doesn't just apply to that. It applies to like firemen and police and all that too. So if there's a fire nearby, all of your firefighters will just go there.
Yeah, and that's something I've noticed for a while. I thought was really weird. I assumed it was a bug or something, but where I would have like six fucking fire trucks and there would be like maybe three fires in the city and they're yelling at me like, hey, your fire trucks couldn't get there in time. Maybe you need more fire trucks. And I'm like, nah, I don't need more than two per fire. This should be fine. And so I just let it go. Turns out, no, it's just fucking bad AI.
Yeah.
It's extremely simple AI.
It's not even really AI. That's the thing. Like, this is...
on the previous subject of AI, this is, kind of bad. And then the other thing that I've heard about, and I believe you guys have also heard this thing, is there's no, like... You can play this game offline, and in fact, totally. You can do like
somebody has done it already.
There's people who are working on ways to build outside the box.
Yeah, because this game does have mod support, even if it's always online. They have confirmed mod support for this game.
Yeah,
Has anyone here played Cities XL?
Yeah,
because I've heard that's like for a little awesome. Bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually really good.
I like it. No, it's not that good. I didn't like it.
It's really good because it streamlines a lot of the same stuff that the new SimCity does without all of the restrictions of the new SimCity. Their vision for that was what SimCity kind of has tried to do now with the region stuff and kind of the cross city play that never really materialized in Cities XL.
Cities XL was originally supposed to be like that multiplayer game that failed.
Yeah, exactly. It failed at doing that, but it succeeded at doing everything else that people wanted out of a SimCity game. And so really, at this point...
I could potentially play that as my surrogate for SimCity.
Absolutely.
Just play SimCity 4.
Could I? Yeah, just play SimCity 4.
No, see, that's the thing, though, is that this does some really smart things that like, it takes away the fucking laying pipes and laying power lines.
Which is what I don't want to do.
And the good part is, it doesn't just take away functionality like that. It takes away things like that that are just tedious and annoying and gives you other new things to worry about putting into the city that are more meaningful. So
we're still talking about Cities XL?
No, we're talking about Cities XL.
Okay, cool.
So what's good about it is I thought that it was going to be something good to play until SimCity came around, but now with what SimCity has become, I still think Cities XL is the better SimCity game.
I can't...
And the nice part about it, you buy one...
Is on Steam?
Yeah, it is on Steam. Yeah. If you buy one and they like release a new version of it the following year, because they didn't tend to do like yearly updates, you get some pretty dramatic discounts. Like at one point, I could have gotten the newest version for like $5 because I had bought the 2011 version. So they also do a pretty decent job of taking care of people.
Oh man, see these pictures are exact. There's pictures in Cities XL at Steam page, which is just like a city that goes into the distance, and that is totally. That is exactly
the way I see it is like with the SimCity, there's really only two things for me at least that they need to fix, and this game will be like something I'll just keep playing and playing and playing is the traffic thing and the size. If they fix those two things, this game for me at least is exactly really what I'm looking for.
Yeah,
because like
what I hope the mod communities will do.
Like I posted a lengthy
that review. Into a lesser thing, the water thing.
Because that seems to mostly have been ironed out.
You need to be able to remove hills. That's what I want.
Well, I mean, the thing is that
you don't really have to remove hills if you have infinite landscape.
Yeah, you can just sort of build around them, or
you can make them aesthetically. The thing about the water wear is if you put it next to a river, you will run out of water still.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I haven't really had that happen, and I have one city of mine that's on the water.
Okay.
So
maybe
there's a way to get infinite water.
I was gonna say, do you have your sewage plant next to it? Because that would be why you haven't run out. Okay.
Nope.
Yeah, I am doing that very disgusting thing of purifying the sewage and just letting people drink that.
It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it in this game. If you don't do that, you will run out of water.
SimCity works now, but it's okay.
SimCity is playable now, and because SimCity is playable now, and because of it, people are finding the dramatic flaws with the game.
I don't think they're dramatic,
but it's still fun.
I mean,
I think that traffic thing is a pretty fucking dramatic flaw, Noob.
Yeah, it's a dramatic flaw, but the thing is, I don't think it does detract from the overall experience, but not a ton to make it a bad game.
Yeah, it only does when because you'll get to a point in your city where you're just like, well, there's nothing I can do about this, so I guess we're just going to have bad traffic now. And because there's bad traffic, I can't do tourism.
Yeah.
Durin, can you get the image I just posted onto the stream somehow?
It's pretty maddening.
Because this is what I want. Like, this is Cities Exile. And that looks...
That broke the stream. Hang on. I can't.
oh, no.
There we go. We're back now.
We got chat.
Anyway.
Post it in the stream chat.
With SimCity, I'm enjoying it. Like, I still get that aesthetic feeling, and there is a bit of a challenge to it. I don't like how most of the stuff I've learned have been from talking with other people. So it does, it makes an attempt to try and educate you, but like a lot of the problems, like the traffic jam, like it would say, hey, we need more residential. And it's like, no, we don't need more residential. We just need you people to learn how to drive better. There's enough residential. You guys are just not making it to work on time and then just getting fired.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, people are complaining. There's nowhere to shop. I'm like, no, there are places. Just people can't get there.
You just don't know how to cross the street where the mall is.
Man.
Like, I posted a review and I included a screenshot in there of like a streetcar stop where at the time there were like 50,000 people in my city, and that single streetcar stop was getting like 21,000 riders a day.
Oh my God.
So almost half of the city's population.
That was the first stop of jobs. So right. If they can smarten that up, that'd be better. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about with SimCity other than just like hold off on it?
Hold off. Find out what they do.
I want to check my Sims 3 into my SimCity, which connects into my Hearts of Iron 3.
Here's one thing I guess we can talk a little bit about, but why do you like on the subject of they had so much trouble? Why do you think games are still so like pertinent to come out like on a Tuesday and not just like, hey, for people who pre-ordered, like with the Guild Wars model of people who pre-ordered couple days early.
They talked about this on the Giant Bombcast, and it was annoying to me the entire time because Guild Wars totally fucking solved this problem.
Like that game, so
So essentially, in the Bombcast, they talked about Old Republic, which is they limited access as to when you bought the game, as to how quick you could get into the game post launch. Which is one way to do it, but pretty dumb. As opposed to Guild Wars, which is just like, if you bought the premium edition, you get a couple days early. And that essentially split launch over 2 days. And that essentially fixed the launch.
I mean, it was over 3 days because the regular pre-orders got in 1 day before. So there were three separate days.
1 day beforehand. Yeah, and so we definitely had issues on the first day of Guild Wars 2. But
not really. I mean, there were, but they were few and far between. Like, I remember playing at like launch moment and getting like 4 solid hours in without getting maybe
twice. 4 hours.
Shinboy, when you go to PAX, can you actually ask the NCSoft guys? Because like maybe it was like, was it something like the publishers NCSoft were able to like, because SimCity was not just a big thing for EA, it was a big thing for retailers.
Yeah.
Like I work at Target and we were having like, they were like, all right, let's get the SimCity end cap with Mountain Dew and Doritos up. And
Jeff Keighley.
Actually, no, I think it was Dr. Pepper. But it's
better decision.
Yeah.
I actually prefer Dr. Pepper to not do any day of the week.
I mean, I usually get a Dr. Pepper.
It's like, was it a publishing thing that they were like, all right, screw you retailers, we're going to get this game out? And whereas EA was just like, everything's coming out on Tuesday to make the most money. Because for people who don't know, the reason why games come out on Tuesday is because that's the beginning of the week for business reports.
That's so random. All right, sure.
Well, no, like the business reports are announced on Mondays, the start of the week.
Okay.
And so they have a whole 7 days to make as much money as possible to tell their investors, hey, we made so much money with this game.
Okay. I did not know that, but okay, sure.
The more you know. Hmm. Anybody who like wants to inform me that I'm wrong, but like that's to the best of my knowledge.
That's so weird because
doesn't it also like a lot of places get shipments on Mondays because you don't really get them on Sundays because there's no postage on Sunday.
Yes and no, but like for a lot of games, you usually get them a couple days ahead of time. Usually on Wednesday or Thursday, and just held in lockup.
A week ahead of time.
And also with the realm of digital releases, that's becoming less and less an issue.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, makes sense.
Like pre-orders and digital releases
are going to change that formula.
I think a big thing for pre-orders, because they're going to keep happening and pre-order bonuses, why not just make it, if the pre-order bonus, you get to play this game sooner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that could be good for the gamers and good for long-term server security.
Yeah, because people will be like, oh man, I get to play this game before anyone else. I'm going to pre-order.
Well, that's what we did. We are case in point. We did that for
To be fair, if I'm releasing a really shitty game with high expectations, I wouldn't want that.
Why?
Because I want everyone to buy the game pretty great without knowing what's going on.
And I still think SimCity's a decent game.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy playing it with all of its 2-3 big flaws.
Like, I hate to say this because it feels like it's sort of a crutch that developers could lean on, but I think most of the problems can be fixed.
Yeah, they definitely can, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they did that. Like, they didn't.
Yeah, that's what I mean, but like, I don't want to keep saying that and be like, oh, it'll be fine once it's fixed. Then people will just be like, oh, we can just release this and fix it later. No big deal.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, yeah. It's definitely better.
I want to see the mod community does to it. I want to see the No Online Infinite Cities mod. That's essentially what
I'm saying. Man, the frame rate. That's all I'm going to say with that. Oh, God.
Frame rate fix mod. Yay. Et cetera, et cetera.
We'll Someone pretty much rebuilds the game in a mod.
Well, yeah. Just like fixes, just takes out all the random AI junk that you don't need.
Well, then again, if they fix the simulation and fix the traffic, the game might run better. Who knows? Who really knows at that point?
I think we've run out of topics except for the one I wanted to talk about at the top of the
show. It's like we're at the point where we finished what we've been playing and there's some main topics.
Is this the topic? Is this it? Is this the main topic?
PAX East?
No.
Is there anything to discuss about PAX East? I don't think.
This is going to be backwards, isn't it?
Well, I mean, what can we expect from the live show?
Live show next week.
I don't know what to expect. Right. Yeah, next week. I don't know what to expect from the live show.
So, well, who's going to be on the show? Who's going to expect?
Me.
Okay.
Reos is going to be there. Revan's going to be there. Squiddle's going to be there. Butz is probably going to be there.
Lots of drinking coming from the chat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then two of my friends from home, one of whom is a Giant Bomb member. Actually, he's the person who introduced me to Giant Bomb. And then just my roommate, who a lot of you know from Mumble, for yelling random Dota things.
Sweet.
Yay. So,
are you like, will there be coverage of things happening at Giant Bomb? Will it be like the GDC style thing?
Honestly, Giant Bomb does? I don't know. I'm pretty sure the way I'm going to do this is I'm just going to turn on the camera and we're just going to start talking.
Sure.
With no script or anything at all.
Is there anything that's supposed to be like the Blizzard thing on
the podcast? Clearly,
yeah. Oh, I mean, there's
that Blizzard thing that's supposed to be shown. That's
the first thing in the morning. Like, show opens at 10. That is, they have a presentation of that at 10.
The Blizzard thing.
Yeah, with the keynote at 10:30. So I'm gonna go to the keynote because I want to see story time with Cliffy B.
Yay!
The show is gonna be Saturday night, most likely midnight Eastern. So Saturday into Sunday. So we'll get through Giant Bomb panel is Friday night. Irrational is Saturday afternoon. I think like the TGS podcast is Saturday evening. And then Cards Against Humanity is Saturday night. So we're going to be going to all those panels. And in the meantime, hopefully since that's, you know, most of the time at PAX, I'll be able to see things like whatever Blizzard's doing. If ArenaNet's there, talk to some of those guys, play a little bit of WildStar, which will also be at the NCSoft booth. And then Wakamele is going to be there again and all that good stuff. So I'm just going to walk the show
so
floor.
Are you going to go check out the Firefall area?
I looked at the map. Red 5 is not on that map.
Yay!
Well, I believe somebody in Mumble gave me the...
Reign of Fury has ended!
Somebody in Mumble told Shinboy he just needed to zoom out further.
To see the Red 5
booth. Yeah, actually circumnavigates the entire hall. They've just done it. They've completed the circle.
They've taken over their own hotel floor, like hotel room of not the hotel room. Yeah, they've taken up a hotel room for Firefall. No, one of the conference rooms at the hotels.
I don't know what's going to be playable and what's not in terms of what people are showing off. Like Firefall, they said, like, I got an email saying, yo, come play this game at PAX. And I was like, okay.
So Firefall will be there, or are you talking about WildStar?
WildStar. Did I say Firefall?
Okay. Yeah.
That game's playable everywhere, so it doesn't matter. I doubt Bioshock will be playable.
Oh, shit. Yeah. The biggest thing that I'm looking forward to. Oh no, it's at GDC. Sorry,
what's,
no, you guys can keep talking.
What's a GDC?
Joachim Morgrim.
Oh god, yeah. Oh man, I can't wait.
The only thing I was.
Oh, I can't wait.
Save
it for the GDC podcast.
I doubt whatever Blizzard is showing off is going to be playable. I extremely doubt that.
Diablo 3 on PS3, PS4.
That'll be there.
That'll be playable.
I believe it's only the PS3 version that will be there. I don't think the PS4 version is going to be there.
No. Microsoft is going to announce their next console, but only to me.
I'm going to break my NDA that I've signed. It's basically like the size of a phone, and then it's only touchscreen gaming you can do on it. That's going to
It's a Microsoft Surface. It's just the new Xbox.
Except it's the size of a phone.
Because that's doing well.
It's like really high tech.
It's a Windows phone.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you guys think of the Phantom Pain stuff that's happened?
I mean, it's...
I think it is the best Star Camp ever.
The only thing that would have made that interview better is at the very ending of it where Keely mentions the Fox engine and you get the twist ending.
And you get the look from him. Backtrack a little bit, guys.
Really?
I know Phantom Pain is to be the new Metal Gear Solid game.
No, it is not believed to be. It is.
Okay,
it is
absolutely.
The new Metal Gear Solid game. The best part about the Phantom Pain was a trailer released, I believe, at VGAs last year, which showed a dude look like a snake going through a hospital and getting shot.
Well, not only that, but like it's more or less a brilliant name because like in this one he has a fake arm, right?
Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't know what Phantom Pain means is it's when, let's say, you've lost an arm and you have the feeling like your fist is clenched. But there's nothing there. That is what the Phantom Pain is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which or Phantom Pain. Hold on. I just have to stop this discussion for just a moment. Noob, what is that in the background on your wall? Is that like a super glittery painting or something?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it is like glistening.
That's where he keeps all of his kindness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the last.
There's none left in him.
Yeah. I just had to know. Okay, carry
on. It's only a week's worth of kindness. Yeah. I'm going to spread it out on my
over
last.
A lifetime.
It's a consumable item that he hangs in his wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, Moby Dick Studio.
So it was announced for Moby Dick Studios, whose president, I believe, was Joachim Morgrim.
The CEO.
But his first name, when rearranged, is Kojima. And Morgrim? I don't think anyone has cracked what Morgrim means. I don't know. But that's the last thing. Anyway, so Jeff Keighley, I think he flew out. Did he fly out to Eastern Europe? Is that what happened?
I don't know. He went somewhere, and they had him in a room with the CEO.
He flew out to Eastern Europe, but what he did is he took a giant bottle of Mountain Dew and shook it up and then twisted the cap off, and that propelled him all the way.
While he munched Doritos.
Sure. Exactly. So, but the interview that we're in question is with Jeff Keighley and Joachim Morgrim. Ostensibly in a room. Like, they're never shown in the same shot. It's always shooting from, like,
of
it's
course.
Jeff and him. So it could have been telekinesis. So they may not have ever met. We have no clue.
But you were about to say it was telekinesis instead of telecommunications.
Yeah. So
telepathy.
They may not have ever met, but essentially, it was the craziest interview because nothing was said by Joachim. Like, he didn't say fucking. He said he had words, he had statements to make about his video game, which indicated that something was going to happen at GDC, where Kojima is having a 90-minute talk. So it's actually going to be probably something big. And that's in reference to the game. And the only thing that happened there, Duren, do you want to pick up this story?
So real quickly, that CEO dude was, his face was all wrapped up, which looked much like a character from the trailer. Like, there was a character in the trailer whose face was trapped that same way, and Keighley, like, points it out. He's like, hey, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I was in an accident, but I should be fine. This should all be off by GDC.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, like Keighley's asking him questions. He's
like a mummy.
Yeah.
This is both the best and the worst thing of all time.
Best thing ever.
And so, like,
this dude got plastic surgery to look like a snake, and now he's recovering from the side effects.
People are, like, back on Kojima recently. But if this, if Kojima should be running all the PR campaign, all of them, they should be like,
okay, hold on. The reason, okay, what if this is the truth? His head was wrapped, and right, he takes the wrapping off, and he's got like the Raiden like cyber jaw just installed, and that's why he had his head wrapped because he had that installed.
Who people think that guy is? There is a significant groundswell of people who believe that Joakim Mogren is actually Cliffy B.
I'm gonna go back and watch that.
Feel the patch.
Which is,
that would be hilarious.
I'm gonna go back and watch that. You know, oh God.
Which is Cray. Oh. Like be Cray. The best thing about this entire thing is this entire time we are certain that this is Metal Gear Solid 5. There is no mystery involved. Like this whole pantomime and madness surrounding this is only for fan service. It's essentially just for us. There's no mystery. Like we don't care. We just want to see what else comes out of Kojima's fucking crazy face onto our television screens, because they've also recently released an ARG video attached to this game. I think it was just earlier today, which is just like shots from inside a fusion reactor. That's it. Yes. This is more exactly best
character. I'm telling you, he's going to walk out on stage at GDC.
Huh?
And he's going to walk out on stage at GDC. He's going to have the head wrap on, and he's going to take it off, and it's going to be Kojima with the cyber jaw. I'm telling you.
Well, no, because this guy
have the cyber iPad.
But see, here's the thing, though. This guy was clearly not Kojima. This guy was not Asian in any way.
Okay.
You can tell.
It's going to be Cliffy B with the cyber jaw.
And see, that's the thing.
He had a convincing accent, which is why I don't think he was Cliffy.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so the thing I mentioned, like, at the very end of the interview, you know, Keeley's asking him question after question, and he's sorry, I can't talk about that. Sorry, I can't talk about that. And then eventually, Keeley is like, "Well, okay, you seem like you wanted to talk about something about your game, but you're not giving me anything." Yeah. And so he's like, "Well, there's not a whole lot I can really talk about the game, but for you, I brought some screenshots on my iPad here. Let me show them to you."
He literally lifts his iPad to the camera
and
scrolls
and down. And just starts scrolling through this thing. And we're looking at it, we're like, oh, that looks like some concept art. That looks, you know, that's a new shot from the game. Okay, that's... And then after he goes through all of them, Keeley's like, you know, says something, and then he's like... And I noticed there in the corner, this has the Fox Engine logo on there, so it sounds like, you know, this is gonna be running on the Fox Engine.
The guy
just like stops.
More and more like a crappy high school play.
Oh no. The guy just like stops and like looks up, not really at the camera, but kind of in that general direction, and just kind of like
Metal Gear face. He goes like,
yeah. Ding! I was expecting
he does that.
It would have only been better if they would have put the fucking exclamation point above his head and made the sound. Like they should have just done that and then cut to black.
Perfect. And then just cut. Yeah, just over. Interview over. Fucking.
This is the dumbest thing.
Best. Oh my God. And again, my favorite part of all of this is we already know what the game is. Everyone already knows what the fuck game is.
Well, no, see, that's the thing. What if everyone thinks they know what the game is, and that is Metal Gear Solid 5?
Which is going to be the best.
But instead.
Which is why there's a 90-minute fucking GDC conference on it. That will be the best thing ever.
Well, no. What would be great is if instead, after all this is just fucking PR for Ground Zeroes. Just to get people talking about Metal Gear.
That would be the best. Again, I will take anything you're giving me now, because for once, I am entertained. PR has become
such a
staged... Hey,
like controlled leaks and all this.
Yeah, yeah.
The worst thing ever. They flew out.
Oh God, he
people
is,
to the middle of fucking
apart.
No, essentially nowhere. Showed them stills and images of a video game and talked to them about the game, and then nothing. There's no gameplay or anything. We've had like 30 seconds of gameplay from Destiny. They've had a month of PR already. I'm far more excited about whatever the fuck this is, even like where we guessed it in the first 30 seconds of the first video, and the rest of it is just bullshit pantomime. This is better. This is how you do PR, not the crazy regimented crap that has become.
Well, and Cynic, did you see the article? I think it was on IGN where Kojima talked about why this industry needs misleading trailers.
No,
like,
he started talking
about why those are good for the industry. And I'm just like, look at this. I'm like, Kojima's talking about why we need misleading trailers while this fucking bullshit stuff over here is happening. and he like refusing to make the connection, like just at some point it just gets kind of dumb.
No, we are well there, past the point. There was an audio
posted, which was pointing to this guy joking Morgan or whatever it is, and indicating that it could be Cliffy B by this Japanese like essentially tech site or whatever, a like gaming site. So Kojima has posted a picture to his Twitter wall of him eating food with a laptop next to him with that page open on his laptop, and that's it.
That's what. What is this game? This is madness.
You know what? I don't even care anymore. I don't even care what the game is. I don't care. I just want to see this continue.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm entertained.
Because whatever this game is, the earliest it's coming out is the end of this year, which means we still have plenty of months of this bullshit going on.
Just bullshit. I hope that
I don't. What if they never announce what the game is?
Exactly. I hope they just don't. Like, what's his face?
Or just disappears.
I don't know who it was. Someone on the Giant Bomb forums pointed out like a situation. What if, right, the game was just called Untitled, and the entire game you're not introduced to the main character. You just play. You just play the fucking game, and to like the last hour of the game, title of the game, and that's it. That's what you find out. Where everything's happened, all that's under NDA, and it's like Metal Gear Solid 2 all over again, but like to the eighth
level. I was gonna say that is a Kojima ass thing to do.
Yeah, it would be fucking amazing. But I don't. Yeah, at this point, I don't care. That's what I just wanted to come on this podcast and say that. I love what he's doing.
It could be a Mario Kart racer, or sorry, a Metal Gear racer. I don't care. Like it's
okay. What if like you never introduced to any of the Metal Gear characters or any characters at all, and at the very end, you're just walking down this black hallway, and there's a door at the end, and you pull open the door, and there's just Young Snake, and it's the beginning of the first Metal Gear Solid, and then just the game just ends. The game just ends.
Oh, yeah. See, more of crazy. I just want more crazy in my life. So,
Don't we all?
Thanks.
Well, I don't know. New Brahma, do you want more crazy in your life?
No. God damn it.
All right. And with that, I think
do we have any more topics to go over, guys? Anybody else?
East versus West.
I think over this next few weeks we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Was a good one to end with.
Yeah, I think over the next few weeks we'll have a lot to talk about coming out of PAX and then going into GDC, kind of the pre-GDC hype, I guess you could say. Right now things are real quiet.
There have been a lot of Guild Wars podcasts, but they've just been like they're in that hinting and teasing phase right now. So that's why we did a Scotchcast this weekend to talk about Moby Dick Studios. So probably in between GDC and PAX, we might throw in one.
There is nothing in between PAX and GDC. There's basically a day.
We'll do a double feature. I don't know. Something. Lots of content. Hopefully some of it's Guild Wars 2-headed.
If something crazy happens at GDC, there is nothing nothing will stop me and Duren, at least, doing a show about it.
Absolutely.
New Brahma, do you have any plugs? Just rocking the normal ones?
Yeah, I'm rocking the normal ones.
The Facebook page.
That's about it.
Okay, right. Facebook, PC Gaming Hub, all that. Check the links, tinyurl.com/thelinkingcast. Shimboy, any plugs?
I finally finished my SimCity review. It's over at my site, plugandplaygaming.com.
Did you add that screenshot of, I can't remember who, someone in our region, but like the massive oil mines?
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't even see that.
Oh!
I'll have to go check that out. But yeah, it's oil quite mine. Lengthy. It's like an 11, 12 paragraph review.
Okay.
It took me a while to write it. Yeah, and then I've been streaming random ass games over at my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/shinboy630. That's also where the PAX show will be. So if you can get in on this PAX East, I'll zoom in on the sticker on the pass this time.
He's been sharing that the entire episode.
There we go. PAX. Because I'm excited. This is my first PAX. So I'm
pretty excited. Well then,
yeah, just keep forgetting it's your first PAX.
What time again will the show be going on Twitch?
Gonna shoot for midnight Eastern Saturday going into Sunday. The card I was gonna make it at 11, but the Cards Against Humanity panel runs from 9:30 to 10:30. So I wanna give myself a little bit of time to get back and actually start the show. I don't know where it's gonna be. It's gonna be in someone's hotel room. Not sure which. Depends on who has the best internet connection in their hotel. So as you can tell, this is a well thought out, high production quality show.
As all of our shows are.
Yeah.
And I will just say, if you're crazy enough to show up at midnight Eastern for our show, then you're the type of person we want there in the first place.
That's 5 a.m. on European time, or at least GMT.
Yeah.
So that's super cray cray.
I mean, I will make sure to archive it. Like I said, there's going to be a ton of things at PAX, just like there always is a ton of things at PAX.
And apparently they are doing a much better – oh, God. Thank you, Derek. Shimboy, apparently they have actually planned out the after party for the Giant Bomb panel.
Have they?
Well, during the Unprofessional Fridays, they did the whole pre-talking or whatever, the questionnaire. But then they also said how – last time they went to Dicks on Broadway or something, and it was just a complete fiasco, line around the block sort of thing.
Yeah.
So they said this time it's going to be a much better thing. Will you be attending the after party? Will there be
if there is, I mean, I would like to. I don't have anything planned after the panel. The only thing is, if it is at a bar, I'm not 21 yet. So, but if,
God, I keep forgetting that.
I know it sucks.
Oh my God,
it sucks.
Dur and I are the old men in this podcast. Yeah.
If there's not an age gate on it, I will definitely be going. If not, there will be, you know, a bunch of other people that will be on the podcast that will be going. Sweet. So they can tell you all kinds of stories from there.
Right on. And that's twitch.tv/shimboy630 again.
Iterating.
All right. Self-confessed cynic, just going around the circle of the live stream. Any plugs from you, sir?
Nothing this week. I can't think of
nothing.
I don't know about my
plugs. Yeah, I didn't think I'd play a new visual novel. This time it's about
something I didn't realize slots. That like I was the one who got you hooked on SciShow, which was what was a previous plug. I didn't realize those two guys ran VidCon, and neither did you apparently. Yeah, that
no. Like,
Hank Green of a education show runs the YouTube convention every year, VidCon.
They have Vlog Brothers, which is a pretty awesome YouTube channel. Relatively,
if you want
but his like, brother, I
don't know what
he
does.
I don't agree with his political views in a lot of cases. But
hey, he got to talk to the president, ask him why we don't like pennies.
Well, how about this? Hank Green on Vlog Brothers did a video where he translated the words of Soulja Boy and sang them to the tune of Soulja Boy. And that was awesome.
It's definitely it's educational and pretty entertaining. Pretty
is it an edu-knowledgement experience?
Yeah,
like the Giant Bomb panel.
Yes.
Well, the full name of the Giant Bomb panel is like.
Yep.
It's like
get your edu-knowledge.
It's like something and millennial brand focus. A Giant Bomb panel edu-knowledgement experience.
That's awesome.
It's like some really weird convoluted name.
God damn it, Jeff.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
And then,
I think it's like business focus on millennia. I don't even know. It's crazy.
Durin.
Yes.
Any plugs from you, good sir?
This channel. You know what? Fuck my webcam. If it decides to fuck up again, I'm going to still stream anyway, just not with a webcam. Because that's mostly what's been holding me back from doing streaming, is because every time I close the program, it's a pain in the ass to get it all back running again. So fuck the webcam. I have some things I'm trying to finish.
That would be twitch.tv/Durin.
Oh, right. There's an audio version going out. That's true.
Durin. Yeah.
But
this also, channel.
If you don't know how to spell it, I was going to say look up Thursday Night Throwdown, but you have to be a Giant Bomb subscriber.
Dang it. Nah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll put the link to the Jeff Keighley interview in the show notes.
Okay, sweet. Okay,
sweet.
One last thing. Like I said, I am going to be at PAX. So if you see this beautiful face at PAX, just say hi. I don't know. Say the Lincoln cast is okay or it sucks. Whatever. I don't care.
If you get a single person recognizing
a single person recognizes me, I will give you. I will give you the biggest high five in the history of the universe.
I love you, Shimboy. What if that happens, Shimboy? What do you do?
I'd be kind of freaked out.
Oh.
Commodore Jenkins will say hi. That's the shout out of the week.
Yeah, that he lives like right near me. He's going to PAX with me.
If anyone right wants on. To come to Anime North in Toronto during the Victoria Day weekend, I won't be there.
Don't do it. Oh, okay, in that case, go there.
Yeah, Durin, any other plugs from you, good sir?
No,
just check out the stream.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm not really doing much else.
Guys,
right
do
now.
You think Taco Bell is still open?
Oh yeah, absolutely. What time is it there?
Like 12:30.
Oh yeah. Around here they're open from anywhere from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. depending on the store. So yeah, okay. They should be open.
Okay.
Ableton plugs?
Yeah. Well, first we did receive a review in the iTunes and
the iTunes.
Yeah, the DC.
What do you mean?
DC Podna basically Yay. Says how we just sound like a bunch of people talking in a basement discussion.
Which is more or less
that
right.
Is a plus.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, that's positive.
That is absolutely
accurate. He also absolutely asked us accurate. To make it, cut it down to an hour. Screw you. This is how we do it.
I wouldn't say screw you. I'm just going to say that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Yep. No.
I personally enjoy the long running thing because I end up working like 8 hours overnight when the store's closed and it helps.
Yay.
If you want short podcasts.
There's a bunch of reviews. There's like five reviews.
Are actually a good amount of reviews. A lot of them are negative, which is...
No. Like,
I'm going with the recent one from today.
I'm unsurprised.
Oh, the previous one was from February, and that was a one star. That's pretty cool.
Okay, of course it was.
According to the iTunes site, there's... it's rated 4 stars now with 8 reviews.
Hey guys. First, anyway. Like our channel, subscribe to the show. Rate 5 stars on iTunes.
5-star reviews will be met with guffaws. Anyway, the plug I'd like to get... LincolnCast@gmail.com.
It's TheLincolnCast@gmail.com.
Yeah, sorry, TheLincolnCast.
If you want, okay, just to add on to that, TheLincolnCast@gmail.com. If you have anything that in particular that you want to see at PAX and you want us to discuss on the live show, send it to there. Because I actually have access to that email, apparently. I somehow schmoozed Cynic into giving me access to it.
I'm not sure why. Yeah. As well as if you have any quick questions or want a shout out or something, at the LincolnCast on Twitter, I think.
Twitter.
I don't
know.
Correct.
Anyway, the plug
Facebook, don't forget Facebook. www.facebook.com/LincolnCast.
Squiddle, never the Facebook page.
I have been streaming some. I streamed a little bit of the Trouble in Terrorist Town, and I'm going to try doing some other games too. When Bioshock comes out, I'll probably stream some of that. I don't know.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. It's something because you just don't want to spoil it. But
yeah, it's a hard thing with new games, especially games like that people are so highly anticipating.
Also, I will be streaming. I streamed us doing a dungeon run. That's on the Twitch. You can watch that up again.
Yeah, anyway. Something like Bioshock, sorry to cut you off, but something like Bioshock, half the fun that I find when I stream is like everyone in Mumble watching the stream and like laughing when funny things happen and all that. That's not something I would want to do with Bioshock because that's a game that I'm going to hop off Mumble and just get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Anyway, Sizzamela says the plug I like to give is I don't really like plugging Kickstarters. But this one in particular, it's a very unique case where it's called Stripped, and I like comics. I like web comics and all that. I go to comic conventions.
God damn it.
Yep, comic book strips, not the other kind. Ha ha.
Like naked cartoon form?
No, not really. More like how newspapers were the main source of comics and how newspapers are starting to die. I'm not sure if people realize that. Most people get their stuff off the web and how there's things like web comics. And this guy has interviewed Bill Watterson, Jim Davis, Tycho and Gabe from Penny Arcade. So he gets both sides of the river. And the documentary is actually already done. What this Kickstarter is to drum up support for it, but also he wants to get stuff like the Charlie Brown Christmas footage. Or like it basically stuff.
He basically wants the money for the rights.
Money for the rights, money for licenses to add into the documentary. So if you're a fan of it, check the links. You can find all of the different links for the episodes at tinyurl.com/thelincolncast. Takes us to our forums and Cynic posts them all there.
We should do a comic book podcast.
And then, I mean, we're talking about Kickstarters, Jeremy Soule is a Kickstarter.
That too.
So you should go back that.
Jeremy Soule being the person who makes all the Guild Wars 2 as well as Skyrim music. Just he's a brilliant music maker.
What's the Kickstarter for?
He wants to do like a regular like full symphony.
Oh, cool.
Jeremy Soule wants to make more music.
Yep.
I can get on that.
Just cause.
And like, you know,
it's already funded. Just Cause?
Yeah. No. Oh God. Yeah,
that is a Just Cause.
Hmm?
I guess last but not least, Angry Ryan Davis. Do you have anything for
Angry Ryan Davis, who apparently the top of his hair is my pop screen.
This entire podcast, I've been watching that, and it's just like awesome.
Now Durant's
I'm so confused right now because I haven't seen the video.
Yeah.
You'll have to check it out on Durant's Twitch channel. Again, that's twitch.tv/Durant. But
okay.
Angry Ryan Davis, I don't think he has anything, so I'm just going to say bye.
Bye, wait.
Bye.
Pax. Pax.
There's a really cool book called The Taste of War. The world
Durant, can we just cut Nubox now?
The packs.
Fold the screen, the packs.
Do it.
Hang on.
Do it.
So, Cynic, what books have you been reading recently?
I haven't read a book in quite a while. I've been rereading Monster Hunter International, but that's because I just can't find anything to read.
Oh, Durant is attempting to full screen. Oh, now there's just multiple packs. Oh, geez.
Any comic books you've been reading, sir?
I really hope we've stopped recording.
No, we haven't.
The rules but this is—I'm going to keep going.
The rules of packs. Violators will be dealt with. I don't know if that's really coming through, but whatever.
It's not legible.
Violators will be dealt with by him.
Rule 1: drugs are bad. Rule 2: don't steal. Rule 3:
you don't have to stop the stream; just stop recording.
I'm still going.
Oh, rule 4: oh God, you guys, this is me. See me in packs. Rule 4, no cheating. Rule 5, don't harass anyone. And rule 6, don't mess with things that aren't yours. Those are the rules of PAX.